You're about to talk to our favorite people in the world.
The reason Kevin is complaining is because he has a bad, bad idea that he's trying to put on. He's trying to infect our show with his bad, bad idea.
I'm going
to
let the listeners
decide. We're trying to stop him.
Whether it's a bad idea or not. I was listening to Loveline the other night, and I heard a phone call, and I thought it would make a fantastic topic. Not just a good topic, but a great topic. And I'm meeting with nothing but resistance from these communists.
I'm sure it was an interesting phone call on Loveline. It doesn't mean it translates to the morning hours to our show and to our listeners and their experiences.
By the way, I'm bringing back communists. I think that's good. I love that. I missed that. Here's the call with a few judicious beeps from Loveline the other night. And you tell me whether this is the best damn topic ever.
I have an issue with giving I feel like I can only have an orgasm doing that.
Okay. The only way she can orgasm is by giving oral sex to a guy. How's that not the best topic ever?
What, you want to talk to women who have this problem?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's a million of them out there.
Here's
what are you,
more
fantasy
of the call.
Boy?
Yes.
You just spontaneously have that.
Wow.
Yes.
How long does that take you?
When he's starting to.
You're able to sort of at will do that, huh?
Yeah.
Come
talented.
On.
Yeah.
I just think it's weird that, you know, every other girl is like, I don't even get it.
It's unusual. It's unusual, but that's you. It's all right. It's not going to, doesn't mean anything's wrong or, you know, not going to cause you problems.
Nothing wrong. Are you kidding me? It's the best thing ever. She should get a medal.
Listen to how excited Stryker is, by the way. You can actually hear his tail getting erect.
Now, now you guys are against this. You're poo-pooing
Look,
this idea
we
because
went to Ralph.
Because let me just clarify.
All right.
You guys,
because there's nobody out there who has this experience. It's, she's just one
so you
like
think she's
freak.
Lying.
She's just. I'm not saying she's lying. I'm just saying that if it happens to her, it's something that's going on in her head. It's not like there's a line of women out there who. Share that experiences
and
that could come on.
And you know that how, Dr. Bean?
We went to Ralph, who knows about this stuff, and he told you you were high.
I'd like to one-up it and go to Dr. Drew. That's what I'd like to do.
Dr. Drew's on the phone?
Dr. Drew.
How about that?
Come on, dude.
It's so important for Kevin. I had to get up and get on the phone.
What?
I had no idea you were on the phone, Dr. Drew.
We have like 700 other topics that we should talk to Dr. Drew on, but we don't. seriously, what is wrong with my showmates?
I don't understand quite what the topic is. Is it
the topic is people?
No, no. It's how to render every woman with this talent. Or
no, Kevin.
No, to find the ones that are.
He thinks why they should wear like a tattoo or something.
Yes. The only way I can have an orgasm is by giving oral sex.
We'll call them Kevin's girls or something.
Come on.
He thinks we'll get a bank of phone calls from women who say, yeah, I have that problem, too.
I must say, it's awfully rare. I mean, I have to, you know, how many years have I been doing Loveline?
Okay, but awfully rare means maybe three or four.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kevin, you can go out on a quest. I'm sure, you know, the grail is out there for you.
I'm just saying. I didn't know this existed.
This is just your dream because this would be a woman who you wouldn't have to do anything
yeah,
for.
It's
you
most,
could
yeah.
literally
it's
just
the
not
most,
move a muscle.
It's the most self-centered sex life ever. Yes.
It's one-way sex.
Yes.
You're done, and then she's done. You
yes.
don't have to lift a finger.
And
it's
that's bad?
Very revealing about Kevin.
And that's, wait a minute, and that's bad how?
I'm just saying, you just don't have to move. It's, you know, I've got
just,
a back problem, it's all right.
I'm just saying she's having a good time, too.
Yes, yes. No, no, I know. Listen, Stryker, Bean was absolutely right. Stryker's tail was wagging like I've never seen.
Kevin, does she normally not have a good time?
No,
is
no, no,
problem?
She has the best time ever. no, but I'm just saying, I didn't know that this even existed in one person. Dr. Drew, did you believe her? That
no, I did, and I've heard of this kind of thing, and it's a talent, and make no mistake about it, particularly the way she was able to kind of time things. You know,
that's
sort of,
what I'm
yes.
saying.
You know, we've from time to time, Dr. Drew, and of course, we can't get into anywhere near the kind of conversation or detail that you do on Loveline because of the time.
I listen to your show, it seems that you do.
We have to skirt it.
We have to skirt a lot. But I have heard, and I'm sure you've covered this on your show too, that there are women who are hypersensitive in certain situations to orgasms. Like aren't there some women who have an orgasm just by touching their boobs? Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's true.
Another one called last night, by the way, who when she has to go to the bathroom has an orgasm.
Right. Thank you for listening.
Come on.
And you know, and the fact is that, you know, because women are so diverse genetically, they're all very, very different, and so no two are really quite alike. Men, you know, what makes us males are this tiny bit of chromosome called a Y chromosome, and unfortunately it's been decaying over millions of years, and it's very simple bit of genetic material, and it makes us all basically the same.
Right. Have you ever come across, Dr. Drew, a woman who can have an orgasm with her mind, just by thinking?
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
Really?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm saying, wouldn't it be awesome if you could actually have an orgasm just by thinking about it? So you're bored, you're in a meeting, whatever.
No, but see, now you just want that talent.
Yes!
You don't want to know her, you just want to be able to do that.
Of course!
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, listen, I understand your fascination, and it is interesting, but we have been talking about it for several minutes now. Dave has been answering the phones, and so far that one other woman besides the one Dr. Drew talked to has not called in, is not there yet.
Dude, it's like the secret. You're putting out a bad vibe. You're not getting anything back. You know what I'm saying? You have to think positively, talk positively, act positively, and the world will respond to you in kind.
I see. I got you.
Putting out enough positive for all of us.
Or something. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, Dr. Drew, since he first heard that call on your show a couple of weeks ago, we don't go by one single day without him coming in and screaming at us for not putting it on the air.
Flipping out of my mind. I'm like, how can you guys not be interested in that? Out of all the things you're interested in, we have to talk about the girl who can orgasm by giving oral sex to a guy. That's not interesting. Let's not talk about that.
It's great on Dr. Drew's show. As Lisa says, not like we've got a line of women standing by to talk about it. You know?
I will bring in the emails tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And we will line them up. Dr. Drew, you're doing the Lord's work.
Thank you. Hey, Kevin, tomorrow, next time I get the call, I'll actually call you.
Please do.
I'll hook you up with her. That's all right.
I'd like a beeper of some kind and just some kind of a notice. All right, Dr. Drew.
Like a transplant.
Yes. Really, yes. Okay. Exactly. Thank you, Dr. Drew.
Okay.
Bye now.
I'm not quite sure why, but people come to us for rulings on all type of topics.
Maybe it's because we have all the answers to all the questions.
We got a recent poll on www.cars.com. These are the ultimate guy and chick cars of all time.
Oh, really?
Let me guess that Lightning had something to do with bringing this to your attention.
No, actually, I think Ralph did.
Oh, yeah?
Because, I'll tell you why, the top five ultimate guy cars.
Mm-hmm. Now, what makes a guy car? Just cars that guys are most likely to drive, or what?
I never believed in that premise that there were gender-specific cars, guy cars and girl cars, ever in my life. I always heard it, but I never believed it until I was talking about, this is years ago, buying a Miata when they first came out.
Yep.
And we went gay.
Uh-huh.
And I went, the guy when I was talking to a friend, I goes, dude, you can't buy that car. I was like, why? Chick car.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you kidding me? And then everyone I talked to said either to own a Miata, you have to be a woman or gay.
Because if you see a Miata, 95% of the time, there's going to be a girl driving it.
Yeah.
That's just...
And like a Trans Am, hardly any women ever drove Trans Am. Hmm.
So
that's a guy car.
So the guy cars are number five, the Dodge Viper. Number four, an F-150 pickup. Number three, a Chevy Camaro. Number two, a Chevy Corvette. And number one, a Ford Mustang.
How about that?
Which, oddly enough, Ralph just bought.
No wonder Ralph had the story.
Not even knowing that it's the number one testosterone masculine car in the world.
But isn't a Mustang, I mean, that's just a classic American car. It seems like everybody drives
that. For a classic American male. Damn straight.
Here's the list for ultimate chick cars of all time.
Okay.
The five is the Dodge Neon.
Yeah.
Okay. Four is the VW Jetta. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when you see that, you see a girl driving it. Hmm. Number three is the Mazda Miata.
See?
Right. Yeah. The number two and the number one cars are Bean cars.
Bean has owned both of these.
The number two car on the ultimate chick car of all time is the VW Cabriolet.
Right, sure.
Well, now, the reason I owned a Cabriolet, by the way, is I bought it during the years where there was no Volkswagen Beetle, because that's my favorite car of all time.
And the number one is the VW Beetle.
Which is what I drive now.
The ultimate chick car of all time is the VW Beetle.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. I drive the Beetle because I love Volkswagen Beetles. I had one, you know, as a teenager, and they're fun to drive. Five-speed turbo. It's awesome.
Here's what it says on the website, VW Beetle. The VW Beetle, a chick car, definitely, and made to be so. How? I know of no other automobile with a flower vase as standard equipment.
Good point.
It does?
It does. Yes. It comes with a little flower vase on the front to put a little flower in there.
Dash.
Now, your options are you can do what a lot of people do, which is just take the vase out. It's just plastic.
Not
it's
that you did that.
No, I keep my stash in it, dude.
Sure you do.
Sure you do, Cheech.
So you're telling me that the Volkswagen Beetle, one of the most popular cars on the road today, consistently one of the best sellers.
I could have told you that. It was
the ultimate
chick car,
yeah.
That's what you're telling me.
I'm telling you the VW Cabriolet was two and VW Beetle was one, and you've driven them both.
You're drawn to chick cars, Bean, is what we're saying.
I feel your scorn, and I accept it.
Wow, okay, good.
I was hauling cargo to Fargo when I met this girl named Margo as I pulled into a truck stop for a beer. She and her girlfriend Sally took me to the bowling alley. I danced with her twice and said, let's get out of here.
Woo.
They say it sucks.
They say it sucks.
In North Dakota. And 9 times out of 10, those folks are right.
Those folks are right.
But it don't matter one iota. Dakota's where I'm heading for tonight.
How do we find out yesterday, and Lisa, you were there,
yes,
that Kevin, of all people, Kevin, who we thought we knew, has a personal assistant?
Well, his assistant is doing a crappy job, because I don't know anyone who's more unorganized than Kevin.
How? That's a great point. Why don't you have your assistant clean out the Kevin backseat party once in a while so that everything you've ever taken away from the radio station isn't still in your car?
He should be in here so you can find your papers.
How dare you? What's wrong with both of you? What does your personal assistant do? What on earth in your life is so complicated that you need a personal assistant?
We know he's not picking up dry cleaning.
Yeah. What kind of errands is this person running?
It's not... Oh, jeez. Why?
What could he be doing for Kevin?
It's not as much me as it is my wife, and he spends most of his time on the charity because it's a full-time and a half job.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So every once in a while, he does, you know, I'll ask him to do something. It's not my...
Like what?
Like I need
what kinds of things? What kinds of things does he do?
Wash my sack. You know, whatever.
No, I'm serious because I don't have a personal assistant. So if I need
either.
If I want to get something done, I've got to do it myself. What kinds of stuff do you have your guy do? Like what? Give me an example. Give me two examples of something he's done for you.
Does he run out and get you lunch?
No. I'll give you one example.
Does he wash your car?
No.
Does he go to the bank?
No. Shut up. Both of you shut up.
Does he return your movies to Blockbuster?
No.
Does he make dinner reservations for you?
No.
What can he do then? That's all the stuff I'm thinking about is what personal assistants on TV do. What do they do in real life?
Well, most of the time I said he's doing charity stuff, but every once in a while, I'll give you an example. This week, and this is how it came up, there was something wrong with my tire on my car, mm-hmm. and I spent probably 6 months filling it back up every other day. Stop at the gas station, fill it back up. Stop at the gas station every other day. So
why
finally,
don't you just go home and have your personal assistant take
it out
and fill
it occurred
it
to me that – so I said, you know, is it possible for you to take the car in while I take a nap? Because I was going to take a nap yesterday. So that's what I had him do. Earlier this week. And that's how it came
How low on the food chain are you if you're taking a car in for a DJ?
I'm just saying.
Come on.
It's not – but that's not what he does.
That's what he did.
I was probably abusing the privilege. I
wanted to hear your side of the story because we have a surprise for you, Kevin, and that is that your personal assistant, who I guess it's okay to say is Linus, is on the phone with us right now. We actually have Linus standing by to talk to us. Good morning, Linus.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. And the other one, how are you?
That's Lisa.
On.
Hi, Linus.
Hi.
Linus, do we have it right that you are a personal assistant for K-Rock's Kevin?
I'm telling you, it's the greatest job I've ever had to be the personal assistant of Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
He is not my assistant.
Stop it. Don't be so modest. That's your problem, Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. You don't take a stand. You don't let people know who you are. You say, hi, I'm Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
No.
Hey, damn world, look at me.
That's my pet peeve in life.
Oh, stop it, Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Stop.
Linus, why do you have to refer to him as Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show every time?
Well, that's who he is, the other one. That's who he is.
And I'm the other one. Does he make you refer to him when you talk to him? Do you have to call him?
Don't be stupid.
I refer to him as that because it is, first of all, a great pleasure to be working with Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. And to be able to help him out in his busy, busy life is a source of great satisfaction for me.
Why must you guys do this?
How busy is Kevin's life? What is he doing when he leaves here at 10:15?
How dare you, the other one? You have no idea what kind of time and energy it takes to be Kevin at the Kevin to Beat Show.
Like what? What kind of stuff do you do, Linus?
Let me open up my Daily Planner just from yesterday, okay? This is just from yesterday. Yesterday, 9 o'clock. Go to House of Briefs, pick up 400 pair of underwear for Kevin at the Kevin to Beat Show.
He does like to go through underwear. That's true.
That's 9 o'clock. 11 o'clock. Go into the garage that houses Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show's fleet of cars. Choose one to be serviced. Take car in to get serviced. Remind them it is the car of Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Come on.
Make sure they know
they're
servicing
that.
Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show's car.
He would never say that.
1 o'clock. Return to the House of Briefs. Return 400 pairs of special underwear because the cotton is not spongy enough. 1:20, call the car company. Remind them they're working on the car of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Come on.
And that he needs to have it back as soon as possible.
Because he may wake up from that nap one day, right?
When he wakes up from the nap, that car better be done. Let me tell you that.
That's
if Kevin
ridiculous.
From the Kevin and Bean Show doesn't have the car of Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show back in Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show's garage, there will be hell to pay.
Come on.
2 o'clock. Dye Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show's hair while he sleeps. Kevin
wow.
does not like to sit through the process while he's awake. He finds it tedious.
That is very – that's service right there, Linus. Wow.
That's absurd.
3:45. Hide the empty bottles of Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show before his wife gets home. Gotta make sure I clean up a little bit.
Come on.
Sure. 5 o'clock. Serve dinner to Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show on his favorite paper plate.
Come on.
5:30, clean up paper plates from all Kevin right. of Kevin and Bean Show's dinner.
I think we get
6:15,
it.
6:15, remind Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show that he has already eaten dinner when he asked for dinner. 7 o'clock, time for flashcards. Go over vocabulary with Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. A
Wait.
Is for apple. A is for apple.
This is with Kevin, not with his kids. This is actually for Kevin?
Oh, no, his kids know how to read.
Okay, all right.
How dare you all.
Let's see. 8 o'clock.
Is
read
this fun
Kevin
for
the
everyone?
Kevin and Bean Show a story. Remind him he's Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show. Tuck him in. That's just one day. That's one
wow.
day.
Wow. That's absurd.
That's well, one day in Linus's life, and I'm telling you, it is an honor, the other one, to be working for Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, forgive me for suggesting there wasn't a need for a personal assistant because clearly you are doing very good work. Kevin would not know how to get to work in the morning if he didn't have somebody helping him out, it sounds like, Linus.
Tell me about it. And you have to pin his name and his address to his shirt while he goes to work in case he gets lost and someone can return him. It's a full-time job, and I'm telling you, the other one, you are very lucky to be working with Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show.
Well, I guess so. Well, Linus, thank you for coming on. It's great to meet you. Congratulations on your job.
I look forward to becoming a regular character on your show.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Not going to happen.
Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show,
not-
you stop
in a million
right
years.
Kevin of the Kevin Show, stop it right now.
Not in 1 million years.
You stop it, Kevin of the Kevin
Have
Show.
Have your fun now.
You, Kevin of the Kevin of the Show, don't make me come down there.
Linus, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Good news.
Thank God Tyra Banks is there for the difficult subjects.
Dude, no one knew how to pee before she had a daytime talk show. Come on. Come at my girl like that, Kevin. Come on.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Okay. Yesterday, we had Kathy Griffin in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
we were talking about Tyra Banks and how she's a big fat whore. And we were telling the story about how Bean defends her at every turn. But he's really
I love her. You know I love her.
But you used to love her is what you mean to say. Because well, you forwarded me, I think, where did you find this? Was this from the listener or did you find it yourself?
A listener sent in. Apparently, there's some stuff. You all have watched the Tyra Banks talk show from time to time, and you know how they scrape the bottom of the barrel on some episodes. Well, apparently, they think there's so much great material on the Tyra Banks show that they can't put it all on TV. So some of it spills over onto the Tyra Show website, and that, I think, is what a listener tipped us off to here.
Yeah, this clip was Tyra Banks, and I'm just going to play it for you, and I'm going to let you make up your own minds about Tyra Banks and her whoreness.
Okay.
This is from her website.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to TyraShow.com. Okay, when Heather Mills was here, I talked about this little bathroom thing that I thought might have been too gross for on air, even though I know I'm gross a lot.
Okay, now I don't know why she's talking about this with Heather Mills.
No.
But she was.
Yeah, I can't imagine how that would come up. I mean, having a fake leg should not impact a woman's ability to go to the bathroom, right?
Nope.
But this was too gross for her show.
But okay. So let me explain to you. When you go to the bathroom, I know a lot of us don't really want to like sit on the toilet in public, so we squat, all right? So you pull your panties down.
Okay, now
she's explaining how to squat?
Yes.
Yes.
And she's showing you. I mean, she's not pulling her panties down, but she's like squatting and going through all the motions so that you, Lisa, as a girl, know how to pee.
Oh
that's
God.
The kind of help you just can't get anywhere. But Tyra cares.
Right? And then like you squat and you squat. But like imagine this is like the toilet seat. Your panty is like touching the toilet seat. All right? So what I have learned to do is like you got to pull your panties forward and then pee.
Okay, so now she's told you how to do it. Now she goes through and mimics it again.
Because you think, "Oh, I'm not touching anything. Girl, your panties are rubbing all over that toilet seat." And I just tell my mom this, and she's like, oh, my God, all these years that I have been squatting, thinking I'm being super clean, and my panties was rubbing all on that toilet.
Okay, so she says, Mom, tell me how you pee.
No,
and her mom says,
not.
Here's how I do it. And she says, well, you're doing it the wrong way. Let me show you the right way.
How does that conversation ever come up with
it
your
doesn't.
Mom?
It didn't. I mean, it didn't. She never told her mom this.
So, Lisa, girls squat so they don't sit on the seat. That's what she's talking about?
Yes. Some girls do, although I have a problem with that because those same girls often end up peeing on the toilet seat.
Right, but they don't care because they're not sitting on it.
They don't care. They just walk away and leave it for the next girl.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Equally as disgusting, I think, as Tyra is and the fact that she would take time to do this.
Yeah.
Is these mindless sheep in the background
laughing?
Oh, Tyra, that's so funny. That's so, what nimwit automatons are you to sit in a crowd and just sit there and laugh at her and
call that entertainment?
What is going on?
Thank you for such a satisfying hour.
Oh, your panties are touching the toilet. You're so right.
That's crazy.
So squat, pull forward, pee. Got it. Squat, pull forward, pee. See you later.
And then they clap. Then they clap.
See you later.
Wow. She told everybody how to pee. Good work.
She's awesome. Whoa.
Nobel Prize.
She's my friend.
You big foreheaded whore.
Tyra Banks is Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore. A big f***ing whore.
Big fat.
All right, so we took care of talking about number one a few minutes ago, right?
Yes,
so
check.
I guess it's time to talk about number two.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
Let me add.
And a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
And perhaps one more.
This program contains images which may be disturbing to younger or sensitive viewers. Parental discretion is advised.
Although this was on the news.
It
this
was
is a newscast.
I know. That's true.
This is a newscast from Idaho Falls. Idaho.
If you missed it yesterday, we got an update here. And the reporter you'll hear in the story standing by to speak with us on the phone as we explore what's going on with the phantom pooper.
Well, we live in eastern Idaho where it's not hard to go outside and get a breath of fresh air.
But one local neighborhood can barely breathe because of a disgusting, gross, vile stench in the air.
Jolynn, that's right. I wanted to see what all this stink was about. Phew, and boy, did I find out. Now, I do have to warn you. What I found was disgusting, so if you have a queasy stomach, you might want to look away during parts of this.
A phantom pooper is taking a squat just out back of one Idaho Falls neighborhood.
If the wind blows the right direction, you can smell it through our back door.
Okay, so this is a reporter now who's going out and asking people about the phantom pooper.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Take it a
squat.
Catch the person, though. I think it's disgusting and he should be put in jail.
Yes.
Here's the scoop on the poop. The city has gotten so many calls about the phantom pooper. They've set up a pooper stakeout to see if they could catch him doing his business.
But from what I understand, they still haven't caught him yet. Even though they've staked out the area and sat and watched, they still haven't caught up with him yet.
Okay, now here's where she recaps kind of what we know.
Here are the clues to the phantom pooper's identity as we know them. His preferential place to leave a log is under the Lindsay Boulevard overpass. He fancies himself a bit of a Rembrandt.
Now here's my favorite part. He fancies himself a bit of a Rembrandt. Listen to this.
You know, I don't know why they want to finger paint with it.
Oh, come on. Come on. All right. Well, the voice on the tape is the voice on the phone here at K-Rock right now. Let's welcome KIDK Channel 3 reporter Mary Sturgill to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
What a great assignment. You're so lucky.
This is what you went to college for, right, Mary? This is it.
Yeah, it was an incredible assignment. Never in a million years did I think I'd ever have to cover that.
The phantom. Did you have a meeting in the morning where you go over the stories and somebody gets assigned to each story and they said phantom pooper Mary?
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. One of the reporters brought the story in from one of her sources and it got dumped on me.
So it's
dumped on me. Yeah.
She can't now, stop.
Mary, where did the name the phantom pooper come from? Was that you?
No, that was actually the group. He's actually called the phantom defecator. So we softened it up.
Okay, wow.
I'm shocked that you soften anything up. Your newscast has got stinky and squat and leaving a log.
It took a long time to find all those different ways to say that.
Yeah, well, no kidding. How many people did you interview?
We interviewed interviewed two people, two of them appeared in the piece.
Right.
And then some city officials who, you know, probably didn't want to appear in the piece.
Well, of course not. Nobody wants to appear in a piece on a phantom pooper.
Exactly.
Why did your station, by the way, thank God for the YouTube. I mean, obviously we wouldn't know about this report in Idaho Falls, Idaho, if it hadn't been for the YouTube. But
right.
Why did your station spend so much time on this story and go into such detail?
Well, when my news director came to me with the story, we talked about how to do it, and we wanted to make it funny. And, you know, we cover, you know, sex offenders and all the horrible news of the day, and we wanted to make this light and funny because, you know, the funniest thing is, you know.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah, we know.
Right. We gotcha.
Yeah, so we wanted to make it light and funny, and I did talk him into moving the piece to 10 o'clock, so it's not during the dinner hour at 6 o'clock.
Right.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but what about this? I mean, we're all familiar with poop, yet you do go into a probably more detail than is necessary for the average viewer. When you start talking about, when you got that interview with the guy talking about the finger painting, Do you have to? Does it need to be on camera? Isn't the image already burned into the brain just when you hear that he smeared it all over the wall? I mean, do we need to see it?
I think, well, it's TV. You have to see something, and that's the topic of the day.
So. You know, I don't know why they want to finger paint with it, but.
Come on. All right, did they catch the phantom pooper?
No, he is still on the loose.
He's still at large.
Yeah.
Is the theory that this is a statement he's making, or is he a homeless guy? He just doesn't have a place to go, or does he have some sort of mental illness? What are the theories behind it?
There are lots of theories. The main theory, I think, is that it's a homeless person, or if you look at video, there's so much of it, it's got to be more than one person, I think.
Yeah?
But,
really?
Oh,
so then you have a copycat phantom pooper?
I think we do. And since I did the story, I found out that it happens all across the nation.
Mary, you know what's really weird about this is it does happen all across the nation.
Yeah.
And we had this problem for about 6 months.
Yep.
Where it would happen clearly away from the toilet.
Here at the radio station.
And there were people like trying to catch who it was. And somebody reported that he saw blue shoes. And we were checking everybody for blue shoes. I mean, how common is this?
Apparently, it's very, very common. One gentleman in the piece talked. He owns a campground. And he's in connection with campgrounds all across the country. And apparently, it happens in every campground across the country. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have, by the way, if you're just joining us, Mary Sturgill is on the line. She is a very fine reporter in Idaho Falls, Idaho for Channel 3 there. We're talking about the phantom pooper story that we brought you yesterday. There's a woman in the piece, I don't know if we have the tape available, who talked about how she could understand if the guy pooped once. All right, everybody gets a pass when you got to go.
Right.
And then she starts going into all this detail about how you can kind of feel it coming on and you ought to be able to plan better ahead. I mean, there's been more investigative reporting from your station in Idaho Falls on the phantom pooper than we've had in all of the war of Iraq. I mean, it's unbelievable the resources you put into this story.
And you know what? It's the story people are talking about.
All right, let me ask
you. It's what people want to know about, apparently.
It is. It's the first time we've had you on. Let me ask you one last question.
Sure.
You see occasionally a TV show where there are a bunch of fires being started and the fireman shows up and he's the hero. And it turns out the fireman was setting the fires so he could be the hero.
Interesting.
What are you suggesting,
Mary?
Kevin?
Are you the phantom? Are you the phantom pooper?
No, I am not.
And then you go out and interview people about it.
Exactly. No, I am not. But we have had several emails, people claiming that they were the phantom pooper.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And several websites out there, if you check some of them, Bitbart, things like that, have people talking about who they think it is, and it's just so funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What is the if they find the phantom pooper? What will the charge be against him? What law is being broken here?
Well, this is the thing. I talked to several people about that, and basically the only thing they can charge him with is a misdemeanor of maybe indecent exposure, depending on how they caught him.
Right.
You know, or, you know, disturbing the peace, maybe.
So disturbing the peace, nothing. I'm going to go out and start doing that. That's fantastic.
You know, because people walk out and they have this horrible smell, so they're disturbing their peace.
Wow.
I guess, yeah. Well, this has to be among your favorite stories you've ever done since you've been on TV, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it's the funniest thing.
You sound like you have a good sense of humor. Do you call your relatives or somebody and say, listen to the story I'm on today?
Absolutely, I did.
Fantastic.
Well, we're going to be keeping our...
You're not going to believe what I've come to.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to be keeping our eyes peeled on YouTube for an update, and I'm sure from time to time you guys revisit the story on Channel 3, right?
Yeah, we're working on that. We're working on it.
10-piece series on it.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, wait till 60 Minutes picks this one up, man. Look out. All right. It's KDIC Channel 3 in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Mary Sturgill is the reporter. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. We've enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I just have one other question.
You know, I don't know why they want to finger paint with...
Now, tell me about Space Shuttle Discovery, because it seems like, and I'm not following it all that closely, but it seems like they knew something was wrong. And then they said, well, we can't find what it is. Let's just go anyway. And then they went. Right. They couldn't find what caused the sensor to go off, right?
That's right. Right. They had a number of problems on the ground and that delayed the launch. And they thought they took care of it, but they're kind of winging it. They don't really know.
Yeah.
And they didn't really know until it went up. And they saw, hey, there's pieces falling off of it just like the last time. That's no good.
Which they thought they had fixed and which caused the last time it blew up.
Yep.
Almost the exact same size pieces came off. So now they're up in space. And they're scrambling to try and fix the problem so they don't explode on their way into Earth. Now, that's some pressure right there.
Yeah, no kidding. It was the first time it had ever happened, Lisa, tell me if I'm right about this, where they sent guys out of a spacecraft like this to fix it on the outside, right?
Yes, and to go under, which they'd also never done before.
To go under it, right.
Under the spacecraft.
So they go under it, and the guy goes out there, and he starts pulling stuff off of it with his hands.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
and he's
right.
got a hacksaw in his pocket in case he needs to use a hacksaw.
Right.
Listen to this thing. The shuttle is the most complex moving machine ever built by man. It was conceived in the 60s. The current machines are up to 25 years old and weigh 4.5 million pounds. The program costs more than $145 billion, with a B, as of early 2005.
Wow.
And he's out there just pulling stuff off with his hand, and he's got a hacksaw in case he needs to cut it off.
Oh, my God.
I think it's terrifying. And I also don't understand, because I know so little about how spacecraft work, I also don't understand how a little piece of foam falling off of a ship can blow you up.
I don't either.
I don't know how that happens.
I think they say that they can't predict whether such a small piece of material might create wind friction and heat. And then heat when they're coming back in is what makes the thing explode.
Well, it's very complicated. And I do know that the Discovery is up there now and it's attached to the International Space Station far out in space. And there's, six or seven astronauts up there. And I think if we can go to the secure line, I believe producer Lightning has figured out a way for us to actually talk with them from the Discovery, which is going to be very exciting for us.
I'm not sure if it's going to work, so bear with us here as we try to get a hold of the Space Shuttle Discovery.
What's up? Hey!
Hello? Is this the International Space Station?
International Space Station? What's up? Hey, who's this? I'm bumping right now. What's happening, eh?
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up, Bum? Say, hey, it's me, Rudy Cisneros, eh?
Rudy?
Yeah,
We talked to you from you're the guy who's... Hey, could you turn down the ludicrous?
Hey, turn down the music.
Yeah, turn down the music. You were working for the Mexican Air Force the last time we talked to you. You were tracking UFOs or something,
now
right?
I'm in space. Orale, check it out. I'm like Han Solo.
Wait a minute. You're at the International Space Station?
No, I'm in my ship right by the space station. It's the USS El Camino.
Oh, no kid. What is that? I have not heard about that.
Well, it's like another ship. I'm up here like doing a consultation work or something. Hold on. Scotty, beam me up a lighter.
Oh, jeez. Rudy. But here's what I don't understand.
Hang on, dude.
Okay, there's more here.
There you go. All right.
Rudy, there's a lot of news coverage about the Discovery down here, and we've seen the Japanese astronaut, we've seen the Australian astronaut, the American astronauts. They haven't said one word about a Mexican up there.
That's because the media don't like the brown man, eh? They don't want to mention that, like, they had to turn to the Hispanic to fix things, right? Because, look, check it out.
When did you get up there?
Like, about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago. I don't know, really, eh? Because I was, like, all blunted out. I was hanging out in front of Home Depot. I was hanging out in front of Home Depot, like, looking for work, eh? And this vato comes up with, like, the Poindexter glasses. He's like, I work for JPL or something like that, eh? And he's like, I hear you can fix stuff. And I'm like, whatever, eh? And then they send me up into the, in the ship, into the space.
You mean, wait a minute. You mean that they sent you up to fix our space shuttle Discovery?
I'm a legend, eh? One time we were on our way back from Rosarito from seeing the donkey show, eh? Right. And my cousin, Buick Regal, broke down the transmission. I fixed it with like a snorkel and 3 toothpicks and an avocado, eh? And they're like, if you could do that, you could do whatever. You could probably fix our, you know? Because like no Japanese or no Australian know nothing about fixing nothing with like meager tools, eh? Because I can fix. Yeah. I made bongs out of like exhaust pipes and a bucket of salsa verde.
All right, I understand. Well, I mean, legendarily, that's where you go for the cheap labor, is the Mexican guy out in front of the Home Depot.
That's
so maybe
right.
NASA's trying to cut back on costs a little bit here, too.
Yeah, they were like, we got to pay all our other astronauts like a bunch of money, eh? I was like, I'll do it for a sack of weed and a chorizo burrito, eh?
That's why they didn't want to put out a press release about
that's
it.
Right,
because
eh? They're trying to hide, keep the brown man down, eh?
Now, when we saw the spacewalk yesterday and the guy was underneath pulling stuff off, was that you?
No, that was my homeboy. Like I said, like when the media covers stuff, they got to have like the front. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like
so
they had that Japanese homeboy and the Australian homeboy out there doing the work, but I had an earpiece in there. I'm going to take that hacksaw right there, eh? Use the duct tape.
Oh, so you were giving them directions the whole
time? That's right, eh? That's right, man. I was like, this ship ain't nothing, man.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Hey, how happy are you, though, that you got your own ship, the SS El Camino, and you don't have to come back on the Discovery, which is probably going to, let's be honest, blow up?
Yeah, my ship flies on hydros, eh? I put a Sig Raiders mural on the side, eh? It's dope.
Lieutenant Rudy, forgive me for saying this, but why don't you bring the guys back?
Like I said, it's like a covert mission, eh? They don't want anybody to know about it, so like...
I know, but I'm saying if it's safe, it seems like maybe they should go with you.
My ship's got to land somewhere over, like, Tenochtitlan, eh?
Oh, I
see. So that no one knows where I'm at.
I got you. Wow.
I said Tenochtitlan, by the way.
Yes, you did.
I don't think it's been a real city since, like, 300 BC, Mato.
Very impressive, actually. Well, Lieutenant, you're a real hero if you're making that much of a difference up there in space. I mean, that's very, very impressive.
I should be inspiration to you all, eh?
Absolutely.
I'm living in my parents' backyard last week in Boyle Heights. Now I'm in space. I'm up here in space cruising around. Whoop, whoop.
No, it's very impressive.
Hold on. I need a snack.
That's a snack.
Going back to the bog, huh? I didn't know a bog would operate in space. I thought maybe the gravity would be hard to screw you up there.
I dismantled the smoke detector. Get blunted, eh?
Very nice.
Good idea. All right. Listen, Lieutenant, we're almost out of time. Anyone back on Earth you need to say hello to before we let you go?
I'm miles away from home. I just want to say what's up to my Aina, my baby, my Ruka, Rosario Lupita Mejia, Marana de la Jocoya Canal Guerrero.
Right.
Back home, also known as Droopy Face in some parts of Boyle Heights. What's up, Aina? Keep your head up.
Okay.
Daddy's going to be back soon, eh?
All right. Listen, we got to go, Rudy, but thanks for helping out the space station.
My pleasure, Holmes.
All right, we'll check in with you later.
It's still Sunday. Good morning. I'm Doc on the Rock, 7:33 now. So how does, and also the sheer, there are many things that, if you're talking about to the famous case of the chimney sweeps, other than... I'm Doc on the Rock.
This past year, we had the chance to have breakfast with a bunch of different bands.
And I think one of my favorites, one of the best, was My Chemical Romance.
K-Rock. It's Kevin and Beans. Breakfast. You'd be like a big breakfast machine with My Chemical Romance.
This is the Kevin and Beans Show on 106.7 KROQ. Breakfast with My Chemical Romance. All right. Who's having the best time they've ever had in their life, baby? What's it like to write those words in your room or wherever you're writing them, and then to see...
parents' basement?
Yeah, parents' basement. Maybe that's the case. And then, like on a morning like this morning, you've got a dozen people in the front row who are 3 feet from you screaming the words back to you in your face. What's that like?
That's one of the best parts. Like, it's the best feeling in the world. So, yeah, there's not a lot of things you could use as a metaphor to describe that. It's just something that feels amazing inside. So,
and when you go to foreign countries, they sing back to you in
same
English.
Words.
Same words.
It's amazing.
Do they know what they mean?
I think so.
Okay.
Lightning is in the audience in the Super Secret location. By the way, one of the smallest breakfast with shows we've ever done. A very exclusive audience here this morning. Probably less than 100 people or so. And Lightning, you've got one of them. Who's with you?
We've got Andrew from Burbank.
Hey, guys.
I'm in a band that's heavily influenced by your guys' music.
Awesome.
So I wanted to know if you guys have any advice for up-and-coming bands.
Totally. We have, we have this thing we always talk about, and it's really simple. You play the music that you want to hear because you made it so you could hear it yourself. You get in a van. You never go home. And you do it because you love it. You stay honest. You stay sincere. Never do it for the money. And you're going to be happy for the rest of your life. So.
Look at that.
You make it sound so simple.
Come on, man. It is.
The simpler version is play from the heart and never be full of shit.
Basically.
What happens to the 99% of the bands that try to make it and don't? Are they violating one of those basic principles?
No,
they're doing it for the wrong reason? Or?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
No, I mean the ones that try to do it like you've described and still don't make it.
I think they all make it in some way. Like bands that simply get in a van and tour forever. Like there's lots of stories about bands that have been around for sometimes, like the band like Pulp in England's been around 17 years before they got big, and they just kept doing it.
No Doubt is another perfect example.
They just exactly
kept doing it till it worked.
Yep. I read several interviews that you were a big fan of Bruce Dickinson.
I was. I still am. Yeah.
What was that like for you, looking at him and saying, "I want to do that"?
I'm going to have to do a lot of push-ups. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That guy's amazing. Like he flies all over the stage still, and he's like he's in his 50s, I think, right?
Is that what captured your attention as to want to be a lead singer?
When I was a kid, me and Mikey used to listen to Live After Death all the time, which is like one of the greatest live albums ever recorded. And
Iron Maiden.
Yeah, Iron Maiden. It starts off with a Winston Churchill speech, and then they launch right into Aces High, which is about World War II, and it's phenomenal. And, you know, that was one of the first, I guess, audio experiences that made me want to be in a band, and then visual came later, but...
Your parents probably weren't crazy about the Iron Maiden records in the house. Most parents aren't.
Well, they were. Remember the PMRC?
No kidding.
They weren't a part of that, but thank God. But when I was a kid, that was huge. PMRC was giant.
For folks who don't know, that was the movement that led to records being labeled for obscenity and explicit language and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They didn't say you couldn't make them. They just said you had to label them. That's what it was.
So
you could write Tipper Gore.
Yeah. So then, she was the head one. And like,
right.
My parents kind of watched TV and like bought into that a little bit. And so they made it a little hard for me to get stuff like Slayer records, but they were pretty cool with Iron Maiden. So.
Speaking about your family, I read that, of course, your grandmother inspired your creativity in a way that no one else in your family kind of was able to do. How did she do that?
Because she herself was such an amazing artist. She was a sculptor, a painter. She could play the piano. She could sing. She was an amazing woman. And she kind of saw that I had an interest in that kind of thing and just not forced me, but just kind of fostered that creativity.
Just gave you encouragement.
Yeah. She made me do it. And she's the one that made me play Peter Pan in the play. So.
We have her to thank for that.
That's the first applause for Peter Pan in maybe 40 years. I mean, really, that's quite a moment. All right, one more question, and then we'll hear another live song from the band My Chemical Romance. It's the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Lightning is in the crowd. With whom?
We've got Paul from Placentia. I understand you have a comic book coming out soon. I was wondering if you could tell us about it.
You know, it's really actually very hard to describe in a sentence. I guess it's a closet space alien, adopts seven extraordinary maladjusted children, raises them really bad, and then dies of a heart attack. So it's a lot of fun, you know. It's just been an amazing experience.
When does it come out?
September 19th.
You started out as an intern at
DC Comics.
DC Comics, right?
I did.
You were just copying?
I was a photocopy boy. Yeah.
Nice. And you learned, you just read everything and learned to love it while you were doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really helpful to, you know, every kind of art you do is really relative, you know. And it was really helpful to photocopy all this stuff and see the stuff up close.
Right.
And it helped me become a better visual artist. So.
How long was it until you started thinking, I want to write my own?
We always try to, like, start bands and stuff. We never really had a band, but... it was right after 9/11, just as the story is, you know. That was the moment where I kind of turned my back on wanting to do art. And, like, you know, we started the band together.
All right, let me ask before we hear another song here, guys, from the other guys in the band. You have to tell Gerard that the comic book's good, but what do you really think? He's not here. He's not listening. What do you guys really think?
It's good.
All right. Breakfast with My Chemical Romance. MCR, everybody stand up. Here's another live number for you on K-Rock.
My Chemical Romance. We'll take a quick break and come right back on the world famous K-Rock.
Breakfast time is always fun.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Fortified with eight essential nutrients and vitamins.
The world famous K-Rock.
We are back with more Breakfast with My Chemical Romance on the world famous K-Rock. I know what we meant to ask these guys and we forgot is we had Joe Rogan on the show the other day. Joe, of course, popular actor. You see him on the TV.
All around good-looking guy.
Comedian. And he says, hey, you guys are doing Breakfast with My Chemical Romance. I think I'm related to those dudes. And I said, really? He said, well, that's what it says on my Wikipedia page. I don't know if it's true or not. So we promised him we'd ask to find out if there's any kind of relationship.
You know, I heard the same thing. Actually, he's me and Mikey's cousin, so.
No kidding. You really are related, huh? But you never met him.
No, I never met him.
I don't know, maybe.
Just adored him from afar, you know.
Maybe drop a dime, you know, phone call, say hi.
Maybe, I don't know. He's probably hard to get his number, you know.
We have it.
Plus,
actually,
he'll make you eat some kind of animal ass, and you don't want to do that.
That's true. It's not worth
really
it.
Not.
All right, Lightning, who do you got for us?
Yeah, if I can get him to start jumping up and down, we've got Tim Butler from Los Alamitos.
I have a two-part question. Do you like llamas, and what's your favorite animal?
Gazelles. I've often felt that My Chemical Romance, if it were to embody an animal, it would be a gazelle.
Wait, why is that? And why is that?
What's that?
Why is that?
Because it's just running. Running from the predators, you know what I mean?
Now, you guys had mentioned before about touring with other bands and other bands that you admire. You mentioned Slayer earlier. Is it true that you opened for Slayer one time?
Oh, come on! We gotta talk about that!
I love this story. It's my favorite story.
All right, yeah.
People threw bottles of urine at you.
Yes.
Threw them.
You know, Slayer...
My favorite thing about radio is they always ask questions they know the answer to.
Of course.
Yes, yes! You notice?
I just want to hear you guys talk about getting pee thrown at you.
Okay, let's see. Well, as I'm sure you know, if you ask anybody that's played before Slayer,
right,
that's not an easy band to play after as well. It's just as hard. So, you know, I got some pee-pee. I slipped on a peach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rad time.
Excellent.
It was actually, it ended up, because of all that stuff happening, I think it ended up being one of the greatest shows we ever played. And
really?
It actually felt like we were in the basement again. Like we were just throwing shit.
Well, you know, it is a compliment in some cultures to have urine thrown at you. So maybe that's the way to look at it, you know?
Well, it didn't feel like...
Have you guys ever had to record your songs for other markets in other languages?
No.
Because some bands will do that.
Although, I have been known to bust out I'm Not Okay in Spanish.
Is that right? No kidding.
Yeah, but just the choruses, you
right.
know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's No Estoy Bien over and over, I mean...
Well, the reason I bring it up
there's
is...
There's a do-it chant right now. Do it.
No. Can you speak a little Spanish for us?
Un poco.
Un poco. There you go. The reason I'm bringing it up is one of the contests that we did this week for people to win tickets to be here at the Breakfast with My Chemical Romance is we had our intern, the Shaolin Robot.
I heard about this.
And we had her sing
in Cantonese.
Yes, some of your songs in Cantonese. And I just wanted to play a little bit of it.
Please
See if you can identify what My Chemical Romance song this is. This is a little game we call Cantonese Aroki on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Not okay. Right?
Well, that's what it is. It's I'm Not Okay. You got it. You win tickets to My Chemical Romance. You can do it in Cantonese.
For the rest of my life. Tickets to My Chemical Romance.
All right. Any other questions? Or are we going to go out with one more big number here?
I just want to mention again tonight, Project Revolution San Diego. If you're in the mood for a road trip, this would be a good night. And thanks to My Chemical Romance for coming out this morning. We totally appreciate it.
And don't forget, Gerard's new Dark Horse comic is called The Umbrella Academy. It comes out on Wednesday, September the 19th. You can get all the details at MyChemicalRomance.com. Thanks to Reprise Records and the band Mike Chem. One more song. And thanks to you, K-Rock listeners, too.
If you could get me a drink of water, 'cause my lips are chapped and faded, call my Anne-Marie. Help her gather all my things and bury me in all my favorite colors, my sisters and my brothers still. I will not. I'm awful just to see, 'cause all my hair's abandoned, all my body, all my agony. Know that I will never marry, and baby, I'm just sorry from the chemo, but counting down the days to go.
Breakfast with My Chemical Romance. One more time for the guys.
Up until now, you thought it was safe with your iPod. You thought only you knew what you were listening to. Wrong. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the iPod police. Now, Psycho Mike is the guy that we send out for this. And he goes out with a tape recorder and finds people that have headphones on and are listening to music on their iPod.
That's what I do.
Where did you get most of these?
Gold's Gym, Pasadena. I'd like to thank them also for letting me pretty much roam free throughout their gym. Okay. Gold's Gym, Pasadena.
So while people are working out, they're listening to
iPods. A lot of people there. The park that I always forget its name, right next to the Grove here in L.A. And then also this time I got on a bus.
On a city bus.
Yeah. It just dawned on me. It was like a brilliant stroke of genius. And late at night, I'm like, where can I get more people? It's raining. Right. Where in L.A. do people have – and then I'm like, people on the bus are always listening to headphones. And I got on a bus.
Did you – have you ever gotten on a bus here before?
Not in L.A., no. When I used to live in the East Coast, I would, but it's a little bit more, you know,
kind of makes sense
reasonable
there. And everybody
there
does it there.
Yeah, I've never – and, you know, in the 20-some years I've lived in Los Angeles, I've never gotten on a
that
bus.
That is dedication.
Because you're rich and privileged. Okay, so you get on the bus.
Yeah.
And how much does it cost? I don't know either.
I didn't actually ride, so it didn't matter. I told the bus driver at 8 o'clock at night, I was like, hey, at the bus stop, can I interview? I was interviewing people at the bus stop.
Oh, I see.
And I got on. I was like, can I talk to some of the people right here that are listening to their headphones? There's only one dude on that bus.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And I talked to him.
I got you.
And, you know, I think it's like 48 cents. I don't know. There's a little jar you put a token in or if you have change.
I think it's a couple of bucks.
Is it?
I don't think it's 48 cents.
Well, there's a thing for like change or token, so I assumed it was... Yeah, not it doesn't over
matter.
A buck, you know?
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you go up to people and you ask them what they're listening to.
Yeah.
And then as the iPod police, you take the appropriate action.
Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We present for you the iPod police.
Wherever there are personal listening devices, you cannot avoid the big ears of the law. It's Officer Psycho Mike with the iPod police.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Michael.
What are you listening to there on your iPod?
Well, right now, I'm actually listening to Rise Against.
Oh, Rise Against. Nice. I'm impressed.
Yeah, they rock.
What else you got there on your iPod? Let me see.
I got a little bit of everything. I got some Metallica, some Guns N' Roses.
Some good choices.
Yeah, it's all my favorite music.
You have a girlfriend?
Yes and no.
Would you like one?
No.
Seems like we have a lot in common. I'm willing to be your bitch.
Yeah, I don't really swing that way, though. Sorry.
Well, if you ever want to, I can always kill my wife.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll get back to you on that.
Sweet. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, what's happening?
You mind if I ask what you're listening to? I'm with the Department of Homeland Security.
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock?
Yeah.
You know, it's 2006, man.
Well, you want me to change it to another one?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to write you a ticket for public intoxication.
I'm sorry.
You're gay with your music. I'm going to need you to listen to all of Black Sabbath's albums from beginning to end.
Beginning to end. Sure. All right.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you a question?
F*** you, bro.
Okay. Hey, man, what do you listen to?
Dead Boys.
Dead Boys. Very nice. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm a cool motherfucker.
I'd just like to commend you for doing a service to the community by listening to good music. So keep it up, buddy. I'm here with fellow iPod police officer Jerome. How you doing, Jerome?
I'm doing good.
Jerome, what would we have to do in the iPod police to someone who is a seemingly normal grown man who is infatuated with Barry Manilow?
We have to check that nigga.
Yeah. What are you listening to there on your iPod?
Right now, it's Ashley Simpson.
Shut up.
Yeah. Look.
I just punched him.
Dude,
I'm the iPod police, sir, and I needed to administer some punishment. Obviously, a crime's been committed here.
Dude, you just fucking punched me.
Oh, okay, go. Can you put your headphones to the mic, please?
That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy, spicy sausage. Oh, yes.
Spicy, spicy sausage.
I ask what you're listening to?
Joseph Krikorian.
Oh. And the song title?
Hoki Ses.
I'm not gonna lie, it kind of tripped me up there. Is that Arabic?
It's actually an Armenian singer.
All right, well, Allah willing, you go ahead and enjoy that.
All right, thank you.
Can I ask what you're listening to?
Listening to house music right now.
Does it go like this?
It's very similar, yeah. I go from house music to trance music.
I'm going to have to write you a ticket for listening to music that contains no actual instruments. Do you understand the charges that are levied against you, sir?
No, I don't. Can you tell me, please?
You must watch 8 John Wayne movies and do 500 push-ups. Is that all right with you?
But I'll still listen to it. You can give me as much as you want, as many tickets as you want. I'll still listen to it.
You're headed straight to Guantanamo. Naked pyramid for you. Biatch. Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Oh, wait. For the bus.
What do you listen to there on your iPod?
Beach Boys, Paula Abdul, America, Firefall.
Okay, Beach Boys, America, Firefall, Paula Abdul. Which one's the outlier, dude?
Probably Paula Abdul.
What draws you to Paula Abdul out of the other bands mentioned? It seems like you like the mullet rock, and then all of a sudden the talentless drug addict comes out of nowhere.
Well, when you're a 44-year-old guy, you know, and Paula Abdul's our age, and we just can relate to that.
So no. You two are talentless?
I am. I am very talentless, yes.
Okay, well, I'm with a division of the Homeland Security called the iPod Police. I'm going to have to write you a ticket. You're going to need to put your head in front of a fire hydrant and wash the gay away.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, dickhead.
Oh, that's good work right there, Psycho Mike.
You're not the part of the Homeland Security that's picking up little chicks on the internet, are you?
No, of course not. But let me say this. The iPod Police is difficult because you're essentially going up to a sect of the public that is broadcasting to the world, I don't want to be bothered.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have headphones
on. Leave
me
alone.
Please,
yes.
I'm in my own little world, and I'm going up to only those people. I'm embraced about as well as like the IRS, you might say.
But at least the first guy you talked to, you offered gay sex.
Well, listen, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, yeah. Rise Against. Oh. You got to give that guy
a man. That was strong. That was good.
Right? Yeah.
And then you gave a ticket for public intoxication.
Take a guess who was the one guy I talked to on the bus. The guy who told you, F you, bro. Virgin guy.
Who was the guy listening to Paula Abdul?
He was a seemingly kind of well-to-do, white, middle-aged. He said 44. He doesn't look like your typical L.A. bus rider.
Right? But still, why would he?
Sitting at the bus stop, and he was cool because I was like, hey, dude, do you mind if I ask what you're listening to? He goes, sure. Puts his iPod up to me and starts rifling through. And he's got Firefall America, the Eagles, the Beach Boys, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he breaks out Paula Abdul, and it kind of threw me for a loop,
needless to say.
See, that's the thing about the iPod is it's such a personal thing that you can listen to the stuff that you would be embarrassed other people would know about.
Yeah.
Until the iPod police catches you.
We're always watching. Be careful.
And then punches you right in the stomach.
And I don't think they have such thing as a douchebag award, best douchebag of 2007, but if they did, we all know who would win it.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Kevin Abbey Show, 106.7, K-Rock, KRQ, 20 till 8.
You know, you've already tried and convicted him, and he's been sentenced to the death penalty, yet every week, Kevin, you come in and present more evidence that he's, in fact, a douche nozzle.
I have to, and I'm proud to say that my wife is finally coming around to realizing what a douche nozzle he is.
Because that's huge.
She called me into the room. She's like, listen, I know I like him and all, but you have to watch how lame this is. And she played it for me.
She's the one who's been trying to get him on our show and trying to get us to make nice with him, and you keep telling her, no, he's the worst.
Right, exactly. I tell her he's so full of himself. He's so – you know, his tricks are great. But they're only 3% of the show. All the other 97% is just him posing and talking about how he's going to die and all this other BS. So he does a show where they talk about the secret to getting anything you want.
You know, a lot of people will promise you the world. I'm actually going to show you how to get anything you've ever dreamed about. I'm going to teach you the secret to success.
Okay, so that's his show.
Okay. If he could do that, if he could teach you the secret to success and how to get anything you want in your whole life, why would he still be a magician?
Chris?
Wouldn't he have moved on past that if you could really just will anything that you want to happen? You wouldn't be a magician anymore.
Chris?
Morning, Kevin B. How are you?
Oh, he's on the phone.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, I love being a magician because my father passed away. He was a huge fan of magic.
Oh, God, you got to stop talking about your dead father.
He said to me, if you could just bring some magic into the world by mind-freaking people.
Did he say that? Did he use the word mind-freak?
Yes, that's where I got the idea from.
Okay.
That you would be a very, very successful man. You'd be giving a lot back to humanity, and that's why I'm doing it.
So then he came back in the next segment, and this is what he promised.
If you want to learn the secret to success, to my success, to wealth, to beautiful cars, beautiful women, any of your fantasies coming to life, I'll teach you. Stay right there.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Yes, I can teach you how to get anything. Cars, money, beautiful women, how to cheat on your wife, how to keep your wife from taking your money in a divorce settlement, how to fool people into thinking that you actually have talent. I can do all those things because it's magic.
And you've got all these cars, high-end cars. You got a Lamborghini, and you got these bimbos getting out of the Lamborghini. Yeah. And you're going to teach people the secret. So then, a little bit later in the show, you say this.
So you want the secret of success, wealth, and all of your dreams to come true? I'm going to tell you how to do that when we come back.
Okay, so tease. Does he ever actually tell you? I'll get to it.
The key to success is to keep people watching commercials, and then they pay you a lot of money to put your television show in the air.
Yeah. This next clip, what was that? What just happened?
Magic.
But what?
I just made some oatmeal appear for my breakfast.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's instant oatmeal. I just added hot water.
Well, I could do that.
I know. You don't have this.
You're right, I don't.
You don't have that. That's true.
The next clip that I have is really, really short, and it doesn't apply to what we're talking about, but I found it funny when he said,
don't be a sucker.
Don't be a sucker.
You shouldn't be a sucker.
Don't be a sucker. So then he comes back, and I want you to listen to the chains rattling around Chris's neck. He's got the diamond, you know, handcuffs and the diamond CA for his name, and like he's rocking like Mr. T level of necklaces. And you've been promising all day you're going to teach us the secret to success.
So you want to know the secret to success, wealth, beautiful cars, beautiful women.
Yes.
And for all of your dreams to come true. You want to know the secret?
Yes.
The truth of the matter is, there is no secret. There's no substitute for hard work.
You bastard!
Oh, boo!
So you promise at the beginning, and then 5 minutes in, and then 10 minutes in, and then 15 minutes in, and then you say there isn't one.
Don't be a sucker.
That rises that rises to the Tyra Banks level of...
No kidding.
I can't help it if you're a sucker.
But I think what we're saying is...
You don't want to suck around listening for the secret. You should know better than that because you're a sucker.
But it's false advertising, Chris, to spend 27 minutes of a 30-minute show promising something that you then don't deliver. I mean, that's taking advantage of the goodwill you've built up with your fans.
Hard work is the secret. Hard work is the secret.
It's not
of
a
success.
Secret. That's it, not.
You said it wasn't a secret.
But it's sort of a secret if you say it quietly.
Lisa destroyed him on Cross.
I am.
She did. He folded.
Now I'm making toast. I'm going to make some toast to go with my oatmeal.
Yeah.
I may kill myself by putting this toast into this toaster,
it's just bread.
Thousands and thousands of watts of electricity are flowing through this toaster.
Not that
by
much.
By putting my hand inside with the slice of bread is a very good opportunity that my entire body will burst into flames.
Right. It's not at all dangerous. A four-year-old can make toast.
Here we go.
Chris, you're fine. You're fine. Unfortunately, you did not get electrocuted.
Oh, I forgot to plug it in.
Oh, that's a
Chris
problem.
Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Isabelle.
Oui.
Oui, je m'appelle Doc, à KROQ Radio. Pardonnez-moi, mais vos seins, votre gorge... Est-ce normal ou est-ce énorme? Nous avons lu dans le journal, le Globe.
I don't understand.
Merci. Au revoir.
DJ Stryker here on the world famous K-Rock has a tail.
Yes.
Has a tail.
What, it's very Ralph?
What's
exciting.
The problem?
I just think
has a tail.
This smacks to me of urban legend already.
But we
what
know
are you talking
that,
about?
That some people do.
Yeah, but... I don't think this is something you just find out about somebody.
All right. Before
it was
we
up
talk
to him, he's the one who kept it a secret all these years. He's the one who just finally brought it up on Loveline the other night.
Before we talk to Stryker.
Stryker has a tail!
Tail.
We have a theme.
Now, he has a theme. That's awesome.
Wow, how much went into that?
A lot, you can tell.
Stryker!
Kevin Bean.
Stryker, you have a tail.
Well, what are you hearing exactly?
That you have a tail.
That's exactly it.
Okay. All right. I'll field that one. Dr. Drew was going around at Acoustic Christmas. This is my memory. It may not be exactly right, but he was going around at Acoustic Christmas telling everybody he had just found out that you had a tail. I guess it's something that came up on Loveline, and he was – I mean, he's a reliable source, I think. If Dr. Drew says it, it's generally true, and he said that he even felt it through your clothes, and it's really there, and you can wiggle it.
Did you ask him where his father was and what's going on with him?
Yeah, no kidding. That's Drew's answer to everything. You were touched, weren't you? You were touched. And the poor listener goes,
molested
no,
as a
no,
child.
You were touched. Okay, I was touched.
Stryker, where would he be getting something like that? He didn't pull that out of thin air.
No, he didn't really pull out of thin air. You know, sometimes when you're talking on the radio, you kind of forget you're on the radio.
Right.
So we're talking to some lady, and actually, I don't remember what she was talking about. And I'm like, Drew, I have something on the bottom of my back that is kind of weird. And when I moved it like that, I don't know what the hell this is, but I think it's normal. And he said, let me feel it. So I got in that somewhat weird position. It's definitely above the anus, boys.
Yeah, uh-huh. You got that position that you used to be in. All right.
Right. And then Jared Leto. And then he grabbed it, and, you know, when you freak the doctor out with a weird thing,
yes,
you know something's there.
When you freak out Dr. Drew, who's seen everything.
Yes.
This is Dr. Drew from yesterday on our show.
You say you examined it. You didn't actually see it, though, right?
No, I keep telling him I'd like to see it, but he will not let me see it. But I have examined it, and Lisa Warden examined it, too.
Oh,
get
wow.
Her in there. She will tell you in glorious detail. She
all right, there
out.
You go. Lisa Warden. Saw
music
it, too.
Director, K-Rock.
She's our music director.
Drew told us in the conversation yesterday, Stryker, that it is not it's not common by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not unusual for a doctor to encounter those throughout his life. I mean, he said it does happen, but that yours was a pretty good-sized tail.
Well, I'm crazy, man.
Dude.
What?
He's crazy.
I don't know what that means, Stryker.
Stryker has a tail!
Tail.
Stryker.
I love how you guys call it a tail, and I will go with tail. And there is a big bone there when I move and might twist my back a little bit. But if you wanted to take a picture of my rear end.
Yes.
You know,
that's what we'd like to do. In an odd way.
I don't think you would say that that man is a monkey necessarily walking around.
So you would you see a tail if you saw your lower back?
Sorry to sadden you, but you would not.
You wouldn't. See, but I told you, this is all just
any,
hype.
Any sort of nub at all?
Lisa May?
Yes. Yeah, she wants to know about your nub.
Lisa May, yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second, because Dr. Drew, he held up his fingers to indicate that it was like a couple of, what? What is everybody laughing at now?
Psychomite is retching in the corner into the trash can.
He's throwing up.
He's throwing up.
Stop it.
He has a problem with this topic. It grosses him out. I don't know why. We think it's awesome.
What's there to throw up about? This is the greatest news in the world.
The things that don't make him throw up, and then this does, it's
amazing.
He's
literally throwing up.
Dr. Drew said it's a couple of inches long and you can actually wiggle it. Is he overstating the case, Stryker?
He's slightly exaggerating, I would say. There is something there. It's not there when I'm just standing up, but if I contort myself, there is something there.
Okay.
And I always thought, honestly, it was something normal until I finally was with a certain human being, a lady, when I finally got some in my life, and she's like, what the hell is that?
Now, that brings us to point number two with our conversation with Dr. Drew yesterday.
There's a piece of the story here I want to let Stryker tell you. Somebody actually tipped him off. He thought everyone had one.
All right. So what is the story that you need to tell us that somebody tipped you off?
Honestly, I had felt it in my life. Like if I would do, certain positions, like if I would do sit-ups, I would feel it, and I would like kind of move to one cheek a little bit while doing them.
Right.
And no one
Stryker has a tail!
So you can't do sit-ups.
My mother never said anything. My father, nobody.
Well, they don't want poor little Stryker to know he's got a tail. You know?
I got bad parents, man.
All right, so who's the girl that found out?
I don't even know. It was in the late 90s in Tucson, Arizona.
Right.
And she's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. Just throw my bones out there.
It's just my bone out there.
It's my butt knuckle.
Not crack the knuckle, Ralph.
Oh, it's too bad. We were talking yesterday about whether this is feasible, because I'm having trouble, without a photo, I'm having trouble visualizing what you're packing back there, Stryker. But could you have a girl in front of you and a girl behind you and be doing them both at the same time?
You know what? That is quite possible.
Never tried it.
I never thought about that, did you?
You'd be willing to, wouldn't you?
Nice.
Stop throwing up. Seriously.
Is he really still vomiting?
Yeah. He is such a freak. Yeah.
You know how people find certain things just repulsive? I've never seen
anybody.
Nothing
grosses Mike out.
Yeah, but especially this.
Yeah.
This is the best news ever.
But a little protrusion on the coccyx, and he goes all to pieces.
Okay, easy there. Stryker, does it have fur on it?
Oh, my God.
Well, there is no fur.
There's no fur.
Okay. No, seriously, Stryker, how far does it stick out if you had to guess?
You got to ask Dr. Drew because he's the one that corrects.
Well, you can
live with it your whole life.
You can give us an estimate. Is it less than 1 foot?
Less than 12 inches?
Yeah, I'm just joking. Give us an estimate of some kind.
Now, have you ever seen a baboon's ass?
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Kind of like that.
It's like a baboon's ass.
I am just
okay.
So you're red and inflamed as well?
No, it's a couple inches.
A couple inches?
Stryker,
that's significant.
Does it wag when a fire truck goes by?
No, but it wags when I go by the hydrant.
It does.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. Nicely done.
Can you use it for anything? Can you dial a phone with it? Can you make a cup of tea with it?
It's like 20 questions.
Doorbell?
You're trying to figure it out. Is it bigger than a bread box? Can you use it for anything?
Why would he ever try to dial a phone with it?
I'm trying to find out how useful it is.
What sense does that make?
Bean had when he tried.
Stryker, have you ever dialed a phone with it?
No, but I wish they had that old show from the 70s and 80s. That's incredible. I could go on there.
Yes,
that's
you true. Could.
Fran Tarkington would introduce you.
Yeah. Here's another question I have for you. And of course, I have a million questions, but we're going to run out of time here in a second. Ralph said this is not the type of thing we would find out about you at this point. And that brings up this question. Why has this never come up? You've been doing Loveline for a long time. You've been on K-Rock for years and years and years. Why has this never been revealed before this week?
The main reason is not because I'm super shy or anything about it, although it does kind of weird me out to now freaking everyone that listens to K-Rock knows. But just because it just seemed somewhat normal to me until Dr. Drew felt it, and he freaked out about it.
Yeah, that's not something you want to have happen. Dr. Drew has a calm demeanor no matter what goes on. If you freak him out, there's something wrong.
Correct.
But I don't believe you, by the way, that you say you thought it was – I mean, you thought it was normal when you were 13 or 14 or 15. But then once you started being with the ladies and started seeing other guys and other women that didn't have a tail, you had to realize you were one in a million.
I wasn't grabbing men's buttocks.
No, well, but you certainly saw that, you know, other guys, they didn't have it, though. You've known for a long time that you're a freak show, right?
A little bit.
Weren't you, like, playing football in high school and you're hanging out in the locker room and you go, whoa, I got hit right in the tail today. That hurt like crazy. And the other guy said, what? What are you talking about, tail? Didn't something like that
Coach,
happen?
Where do you keep the tail pads?
Your whole...
Jeez, we don't have any tail pads, son.
Your whole life? Come on. You don't go through life with a tail and think it's normal?
No, you learned very early in life that you're one of a kind.
I love Stryker.
Yeah, most people aren't doing sit-ups and they start spinning, you know, like a top because they're on their tail.
Stryker, you rule. Who better to be hosting Loveline than a guy with a tail? Seriously.
Absolutely.
That rules.
And by the way, please don't misunderstand our interest in this story, Stryker. There's zero downside to this. It has raised you in our estimation. Seriously, you're now our hero. In fact, I'm a little bit afraid that you're going to be leading some sort of monkey revolution against us. I'm a little worried that you're the head of the team that's going to overthrow the America. I don't know.
Stryker, you're the best.
You guys are too.
And we
congratulations,
love you.
I guess.
Congratulations on having the tail, I guess.
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
Do you want to borrow that jingle for Loveline?
Yeah, can I please have that?
Sure.
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
Absolutely.
All right, good luck to you, Monkey Boy. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
We started out this morning with Ask a Mexican with Gustavo Arellano.
And trying not to leave anyone out, it's time for Axe a Black. I'm going to debut something new here that, Kevin, you were making it sound earlier like word got out that this feature was being debuted today and there was some nervousness in the halls. I don't understand what that's about. Why? What are you talking about?
You know the halls, dude. You know the suits. You know everybody.
Right, I do.
You know how much.
But look at the runaway success of Ask a Mexican. I mean, there couldn't be a more popular segment on the Kevin and Bean Show than Ask a Mexican.
Gustavo Arellano comes in about once a month, and we do Ask a Mexican. And he has actually written a book called Ask a Mexican. Sorry, I'm getting my features mixed up. and so we have people call. We say, why do Mexicans swim in their jeans or whatever? And he gives an answer.
Right, which is, I think, educational and entertaining.
Now, we have a longtime friend named Anel, who's he's a listener of the show, but he's super cool, and he emails us all the time. He's very funny.
Hey, Token.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We call him Token. And he's a black guy, so we thought, why not transfer the success of Ask a Mexican to our new feature, which is Axe a Black.
Axe a Black. Axe a Black right now. Axe a Black. Axe a Black right now.
Oh, yeah!
Axe a Black. Axe a Black right now. Axe a Black.
Sing along if you know it.
It's time to Axe a Black.
Oh, that's beautiful. See, if you're a lot of people like me, for instance, you don't have any African-American friends, so you have these burning questions. There's no place to go. Where do I go to ask questions? And that's why Anel comes in handy. And we might start with, what's the deal with Axe? Why is it you see people who are otherwise obviously very intelligent and well-spoken, yet they still insist on using the word axe? What's
man,
that all about?
You know what? I could not give you an honest answer if I tried, man. I've asked myself the same question several times. Every time I ask myself this question, you know, I just come to the same conclusion, man, that it's just one of those vernaculars of speech that has kind of worked its way into the American, ideology. And
but
black
only
people say axe.
Yeah, only into African Americans. Only into black people they say axe, I think.
Let me tell you, it is now beginning to feature itself prominently in the Wigger culture.
Is that right?
I've seen the white people.
Well, sure, that's because
axe.
Wiggers want to be black.
There you go, of course.
Right.
There you go.
Of course.
But what would happen if you were to ask an otherwise, intelligent, articulate, college-educated professional, hey, why do you still use axe? What would they say to you? Is it some sort of a statement against whitey? Is it some sort of keeping your hair? Yeah, what's it all about,
Amen.
Do you think, from them?
Jesse Jackson does it, man. I've seen him on television. I've seen Al Sharpton. They both say axe. You know what I mean? I've even heard Spike Lee. Spike Lee and I went to the same college, man. We went to the Morehouse, and the brother.
Well,
axe,
look where he is and look where you are.
Well, good point.
you know what I'm saying?
but that's a perfect example of the kind of question, though, that people may think and not have anyone to ask. And that's why axe. That's why this is a great feature, and we're providing a real service to the Kevin and Bean listeners. Don't you agree?
It's contagious.
It is.
See, look, I'm telling you, man, watch. In a year from now, all y'all going to be like, axe.
Axe a Black.
Eggs are black right now. Eggs are black. Eggs are black right now.
Oh, yeah.
Eggs are black. Eggs are black right now. Eggs are black. It's time to eggs are black.
Our friend Anel, longtime K-Rock listener in the studio, will field your questions you've always wanted to know about African Americans. Why don't we start down there on line five with Tracy? She is in Woodland Hills, the very first caller on Axe a Black. Hey, Tracy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Tracy.
Tracy,
how you doing, Mama?
Tracy, just before your question, I'd like to ask one that I think Bean just brought up, which is that we're almost afraid to say black. We know we have to say African American now.
I don't have any Africans in my family.
But African-American, so African-American is not...
I prefer black, personally,
you do, okay.
Man. I don't know any... I know a couple Africans, man, and they cricket.
It seems like every couple of years it changes and we can't keep up, so we're afraid to even refer to...
Black.
Black, okay.
Black okay. is cool.
Tracy, what's your question?
My question is basically, why can't black people swim?
Why can't black people swim? Tracy, have you seen how much jewelry we wear? Can you imagine Mr. T in the pool? That's going to just drag you to the bottom of the ocean. You know what I think it is, honestly, why blacks can't swim is because I think a lot of us have an inherent fear of water that's passed down from, like, the Middle Passage. I mean, imagine being trapped in a boat for, like, two months and all you see is water.
Don't like water.
Yeah, you love land. And plus, I mean, come on, man. Let me tell you something. When I swim...
Can you swim?
I can swim very well, man. But my hair, it turns into like this reverse Jerry curl. It dries out, and you know it's bad. It looks like a black Brillo, and it's not good. So I tend to stay out of the water.
What's that, Tracy?
So it's a personal choice, though.
Yeah, you know, I mean, plus, you know, like I know black women. You know, you can't mess with a sister hair.
I'm right. telling
you,
no, that's
you
know, true.
You know, that's huge.
Man, I can't even walk around my wife when I'm sweaty because you know mess up her perm.
Yeah.
That is a great answer. It never even occurred to me that it could have something to do with what it does to your hair afterwards.
I'm
if it's too
you,
much trouble, what's the point of getting in the water,
that's
right?
That chlorine eats up some relaxer like it ain't nothing. But I'm telling you, boy.
All right, how about line seven? Let's try Steve. He's in Montebello. Steve, Axe of Black.
How you doing, Axe of Black?
What's going on, Steve? What it do?
What it do? I got a question. Why do black people talk so loud? Even when they're whispering, they talk loud.
Because white people don't listen. you know what, man? I got to be honest with you, man. I am a victim of this. I speak very loud. You guys can probably admit if you didn't have headphones on, you'd be deaf right now.
Yeah. Why is that?
I think because a lot of us come from big families. I know myself especially. I have three brothers, man. So you got to yell to get heard in my house. You know what I mean? It's almost like one of those caucuses, you know, where you're trying to get a question to Bush.
Yeah, we can't say that word,
man. Yeah.
Caucus. No, caucus is okay, Kevin. Caucus is okay.
Caucus is fine. Bush is bad.
So that also makes sense. Big family, you've got to speak up if you're going to be heard. It's just like you can't be shy when they put the plate out there for dinner. If you want to eat, you got to go first, right?
Same kind of thing. A black family reunion, man. It's like 400 people with the same last name.
If you're just tuning in, we are doing our new feature.
Axe of Black.
All right.
Now, what is going on with this Tyler Perry? That is the least funny dude ever, and his TV show is the highest rated thing on cable, and the black people love him. They go to his movies. Why is he so huge?
You know, I got to tell you, man, there are certain things that just do not translate well to television. Like, could you imagine, like, Cats, the miniseries?
No.
You know, exactly. So, you know, Tyler Perry does really good stage stuff, man. You go watch the stuff live on stage, the Madea, you know, this and the family
He's
reunion.
Funny.
He's hilarious, man, but when you put the stuff on television, you put the 30-minute constraint around it, the language, it just doesn't translate well. Because, I mean, I like Tyler. I mean, you know, I wouldn't trust a brother in the shower room, but aside from that, he's a cool cat.
George in Commerce, good morning.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
Good, thank you. You're on with our friend Anel.
Every time I see the news and they interview witnesses or people that heard it, they always say, you know what I mean?
Okay, first of all.
And they always say that before they say anything, which kills
right.
me.
Look, first of all.
Look, you know what I mean? You got you haven't said anything.
Look, let me clarify something, right. Okay? We don't say, you know what I mean.
No,
okay?
Of course not.
That would just take entirely too long. We say, nah mean.
Nah mean.
It's one word, K-N-A-M-E-A-N, nah mean. Okay? And it's because we want to know, you nah mean?
I mean, right, but if you say, you know what I mean, then you haven't said anything
hey,
yet.
Hey, man, look, you remember this TV show, The Smurfs? Every third word was Smurf, but everybody knew what everybody was talking about because you just got to be in the flow. You know, I'm going to walk with your brother and say, hey, bro, you know what to do with them business, you know what I mean? And he going to look at me and go right back to me and be like, hey, it's all good play, you know what I mean? And it's just because we not mean.
And you know what's going to happen, again, I'm going to say, is that, you know, it takes a while, but eventually Whitey catches up with that. And we're all saying not I mean.
I don't even have
it down yet.
You'll get it.
All right, all right.
Why do black people talk back to the movie screen?
the movie screen spends 2 hours talking to you.
Right,
I mean,
but
you know, I can't get a couple words in, you know what I'm saying?
No! You can't!
I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what that comes from, man. I think maybe it comes from, you know, like the whole culture, man, is we always got to get the last word in, man.
Is that something that you do in a family at home, watching TV?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. I haven't, to this day, never heard an entire episode of Friends. I always get them cut off by commentary.
Really?
It's like DVD commentary.
Well, that makes sense, huh? That makes sense.
Nell, we have so many great questions. We're going to have to schedule another round of Axe of Black, I think, because there's no way we're going to be able to get to it all today. But I think we've made a first step toward a very valuable service on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Don't you guys?
Absolutely.
I do.
Fascinating.
There's some good questions up here, by the way. I'm looking at a couple of them.
Yeah, we don't have time for all of them, though, now. So we are going to have you back.
Why don't black women wash their hair?
I didn't realize that was a problem, is it?
I'm not a black woman. You have to ask. Yeah, no, we can definitely do this again. Whenever y'all agree, I'm saying,
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Or as our friend Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers likes to say, Wama Dama Ding Dong. Ralph did the story a couple days ago in his Showbiz Beat, but it bears revisiting because it's Blender Magazine's worst lyricists in rock history. And I know the first names that come to mind, and yeah, they're all on the list. You can bet that Billy Corgan made the list. You can bet that Fred Durst is on the list.
Sure.
Scott Stapp from Creed, he's number 3. Sting, number 1, by the way, as the worst lyricist of all time. I don't know how you could say that when a guy's written a song called da-do-do-do-da-da-da. I don't know how you could then turn around and say his lyrics are bad.
Yeah, that is a ridiculously stupid song.
But number 40 on the list, and I think K-Rock lyricists will agree, way too low on the list, is Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he joins us here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Haven't talked to Anthony in a while. Good morning. How are you?
Hello. Sherpas, Coca-Cola, Mars, Lunar Eclipse, Solstice.
Hey, Anthony.
The birds fly. Good morning.
Hello.
Well, good morning to you.
Hello.
So, Blender Magazine, worst lyricist of all time, you are number 40.
Wacky ducky.
I'm sorry?
What?
Chicken nugget half stepping on the woodpecker. Boris Becker from Germany, not Oslo.
I think I speak Anthony when I say, what does a guy have to do to get higher on that list?
Yeah, no kidding.
Seriously.
That's right. Says a Fred de la Hesse on the flim flam, Coca-Cola Motorola with an 8-ball, California.
Okay, we're actually trying to have a conversation with you, Anthony. If you could just focus and maybe we could actually, we'll ask a question, you could answer it.
Loop-de-loop chicken soup on the pitchfork, diggy-dang-de-dang-de-dang-dong-dong.
All right, here's the lyric that's mentioned in the write-up on you, Anthony Kiedis. They say this is one of your worst lyrics, and it's from one of your best-known songs, Californication. Now tell me if they got this right. Psychic spies from China try to steal your mind's elation. Little girls from Sweden dream of silver screen quotations. And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. What does that all mean, Anthony?
Ding-dang-dong-dong-de-dang. Ba-dang.
That's what it means?
But what are you trying to say? When people hear Californication on the radio, they hear those lyrics. What are you trying to get them to think?
Ooh, wicked dicky dang the dong the ah.
Okay.
Bow, bow.
Is it true that you just had a kid, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
And what did you name the little guy?
Green tea soul flower.
Green tea soul flower.
I think it's a daughter, I thought. Excuse me, a son, and you named him Everly, I think is his first name, Everly.
California doctor. Smack a deck.
By the way, Anthony Kiedis.
Say
what you will. The mother of the child is a model named Heather, who's 22 years old.
22?
Yes. 22, good for you, ooh. Down the back.
Okay.
Make a dang, whack it down.
I guess congratulations on both, then,
ding,
Anthony.
Okay. California.
Right. We claim to know everything. In reality, we know very little, but this was a complete surprise to all of us.
And yet another reason to not trust the yellow man. Paul, welcome back to the show, my friend. So you wrote to us and you said, Whitey doesn't know this, but Asian babies are born with a blue spot on their butt.
That's right.
Okay, what's the blue spot? What is that? I've never heard of that.
It's just like I actually didn't know the details of it, but I looked up, and it's just sort of pigmentation that's resulted from birth, basically. But it's a genetic thing found among Asians, primarily.
Do all Asians have it, or most?
I think 100% Asians, also American Indians, and some East Africans, possibly, but all Asians. I had learned that there's genetic markers to indicate what race you belong to. Mm-hmm. And for Asians, it's that blue spot and the shape of your front teeth.
Okay, this is getting
What are you talking
weird.
About? This shape is of your front weird. Teeth.
All right, yes. Before we move on to your cockamamie theories about teeth, what is it a tiny little round blue spot like if it were a mole or something, or is it a big, like a bruise? What are you talking about?
It's maybe 2 or 3 inches on the small. It can be even bigger than that. It's sort of blotchy.
It could be like a whole cheek, right?
Yeah, it's usually along the spine on both butt cheeks, a little bit halfway up the small of the back.
But what is it? Why do they do it?
Well, it's not like the kids are doing it.
What's the point of it?
There isn't a point. That's just a fact.
How long do you keep it, Paul, once you have it?
By the age of 3 or 4, it really fades, and by 7, it's gone altogether. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't know about it for almost all my life until I had kids. Uh-huh. But my wife knew about it, and she's like, oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. You had a kid that had a blue spot on his ass, and you were like, what's that?
Well, actually, before we had it, she mentioned that he was going to have one. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, because it's not something anybody ever talks about.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. My whole life, this is the first time, this week is the first time I ever heard about this. Now, because it kind of looks like a bruise, do people ever run into trouble where they think the kid fell out of the crib or something and got
yes,
hurt?
Yes, that's actually the number one sort of caution for people who have, especially people who have adopted an Asian baby. Mm-hmm. To let them know that there's a condition, because they often get reported for child abuse.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Keen real quick. Keen is on the line from Van Nuys, or as Gator says, Van Ives. Keen, you have some experience with this blue spot. What's it all about?
Yeah, it's actually more so Dean. My son has it. He's 6-year-old. And when he was born, he came out, and I asked the doctor, I said, what's going on? Did he just poop? And they said, no, that's actually common. And then my mom came in the room after my son was born and said, hey, you used to have that. I said, well, no way. She said, yeah, it's pretty common.
So, how come I can't have that?
It does feel like kind of a ripoff.
You
come
get
on.
To smell like mayonnaise.
I want to be blue.
So you, Keen, so you and your wife are Asian?
No. I'm half Mexican, half Hawaiian. And not my wife, my baby's mama, she's Mexican. That's the weird part.
So it's a Hispanic thing, too. It's not just Asian. Is it everybody but whitey? Is that what's going on here?
There's a good possibility.
Everybody gets a blue ass but us.
Wow. All right.
A ripoff.
But it does go away because I don't have it no more.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Keen. Why is this a secret? Why do I find out now, Paul?
It's not a secret. It's just not something that ever comes up in conversation. Like, hey, I have a blue spot on my butt.
Should come up in conversation all the time. Let's say good morning to Matt and Whittier. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, Matt. Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
How you guys doing? I'm Mexican, and my nephew has a blue spot on his butt.
So Mexicans have the blue spot, too.
Because, it actually covered, like, his whole cheek, like. Uh-huh. And even when she went to the doctor's office, you know, to get him checked up and everything, they had a call,
child services?
Yeah, because they thought it was child abuse.
My God, yeah. That would be hard.
But as he grew older, I think it got a lot smaller.
Now, let me ask Matt and Paul, they're both on the line. Have either of you ever asked a doctor what causes it? What causes the skin discoloration?
No, I don't know. I never asked.
It's just genetic. It's just something you're born with.
Huh. Is it true that Armenians get a spot of hair on their butt? Is that true?
I don't know.
Or is that just a rumor?
Who
this
needs...
is what I suggest to them, though. Like, maybe they're not their baby's daddies. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
that's a good point, right?
Who needs color more than white people? We get nothing.
We got nothing.
We have no color whatsoever, and everybody else is getting a blue ass.
Yep. It's a ripoff.
Freaking white, smell like mayonnaise.
Hey, thanks for bumming us out, Paul. Being all Asian and superior again, dude.
Two British scientists have laid to rest the idea that you can correlate shoe size to penis size. Shucks, I was wearing 12s.
From time to time, we like to check in with people who do real radio shows to find out what it's really like.
And there's no more professional than Mr. Bob Dylan. You know who's got his own radio show is Mr. Bob Dylan. The legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Famer does a show on one of the satellite channels. I think it's on XM. And I believe we have Mr. Dylan on the phone with a preview of this week's episode. Good morning, Bob.
Hey. Happy holidays!
Well, happy holidays to you. First of all, by the way, congratulations on the great reviews of the movie that's out about you called I'm Not There. People are raving about that. Yeah.
I'm not there.
I don't understand that. It looks like...
I'm not there.
Hmm?
I'm not there, right.
No, I'm not there.
I'm not there, right.
I'm not there.
Right. That's...
Have you seen the movie, Bob?
No, I'm not there.
You're a fan?
What?
I don't think that's what he said.
He says,
I'm not there.
I think he said, I'm not there.
I'm not in the movie.
Oh, you're
there.
Not in the movie.
No.
Oh, you're not in the movie. I see. You're really not there.
Yeah, okay. Really not there.
All right. Let's talk about the radio. Let's talk about the radio. I have not seen the movie yet, Bob. I'm looking forward to it. Let's talk about the radio show for this week. What are you calling it? What's the program called?
Bob Dylan, Sleepy Time Lemonade Hour.
Nope, it's a Theme Time Radio Hour, I
Bob
believe.
Bob Dylan's Bedtime Tuck Him In Drink of Water Hour.
I don't think so.
Bob Dylan's Record Breaking Time in the 40 Hour.
I think Kevin's got it right. Theme Time Radio Hour. Now, what is your theme that you're going to be focusing on this week, Bob?
This week on Thursday will be all music, dance, toys, and rest. Mommy.
Mommy. The theme is mommy.
Right? Is that what you said, Bob?
He picks a theme, people, and then he talks about it and he plays songs relating to it.
They all sound kind of story. We can sing the whole time talking about the story behind the story of all the things we let them play. And this thing is Molly.
See, mommy.
I think you said Miami.
I thought you said Miami, maybe.
Miami.
I heard
Miami.
Bali. I thought it was like Bali.
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 Bobby.
Bobby?
Bobby.
Bobby.
Money.
Money.
Molly.
Money. 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 It's money. Money is what it is.
Marty.
Okay.
Morrissey. Marty.
Monty?
Money.
Okay.
Marty.
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 Marty Beans.
Beans Manslave. Marty.
B-A-R-E-Y.
B-E-I-T-Y.
No.
Beatty. What's Warren Beatty have to do with that?
Warren Beatty.
Party.
Body. Body.
What becomes for Bobby? Party.
Party.
Oh, party. Yeah. Oh, party.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Yeah, okay. I didn't say no.
Party right. Is the theme.
Yeah.
Because when I think party, I think Bob Dylan.
Being the parties, I just... RSVP'd on Rounds of Eva.
Oh, you're going to be there. That's great.
You're a good man.
Yeah, just opened it, did it right away.
Right?
Evite etiquette.
You didn't wait?
Next week's theme, Evite etiquette.
All right. So, wow, that's a great topic, especially for the holidays with all the parties going on. What kinds of songs are you going to be playing this week, Bob?
Well, one of my favorites. You're going to like this one, too. Ingo Ringo.
Oh, she go.
That's an all-time K-Rock classic. Good choice right there, Bob.
And Emma.
Okay, explain the Pink.
Yeah, why? I'm surprised to hear you playing a Pink record, Bob.
Oh, I love Pink.
Bob, it's okay.
All right.
Yum, 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 yum.
You don't, I know you sing along now because you're kind of in a good mood stuff, but when you do the show, you don't sing along with the music.
Yeah.
You do.
Bob Dylan's Theme Time Karaoke Hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what you got to do?
What?
You got to fight. Oh, you're right. Step high.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to fight.
Hey, hey.
I think I would listen to this hour. This sounds like a good one, Bob.
You know why? Because I like to party like a rock star.
You do.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't ever need to hear that noise.
Yeah, get my crunk on.
Get my crunk on.
You know crunk?
Wow. Bob Dylan is
theme.
Not.
Make me think of crunk.
You're not getting your crunk on, Bob. You're just not.
I am. Because I like this. Honey, all the hay.
Oh, Eddie Murphy.
Oh,
honey,
no.
Honey, all the hay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a party in my pants.
Is that right?
I want you to come.
He didn't mean it like that, I don't think.
No,
though.
I want you to come to the party.
Oh.
In your pants.
And to the goddamn Levi.
You know how I hate the handicap, right?
Sure.
I don't care for them. They're not like us. I don't like them around. I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to accommodate them. They need to pick a state and just move all the defective people there. Who's with me?
No one.
No one's with you. Not a soul is with you.
Well, they should have thought about that before they were born differently. So, but here's one of the reasons why I hate the handicapped. And this time it happens to be the blind people. All right. Now, I drive a Prius. All right.
Sure. Right.
And it's a good car. I like it. You know, gets the job done. But one of the things that they tell you when you buy the Toyota Prius is it's a very quiet car. Not only do you, the driver, sometimes not realize that the car is running. I mean, if you pull up to an intersection, there's no difference sitting in that car than there is sitting in that car when it's off. Okay,
right.
You can't even tell the engine is running. That's how quiet it is. And they say, look, you need to be aware of this, not only for you, the driver, but because pedestrians, people on the street who generally are – you know, keeping their ears peeled for cars so that they're not walking the dog or something like that. They need to step over off the road so that they don't get hit by a car. Kids on bicycles, same deal, right? So you can imagine how much fun I have with that, right? Because I just, you know, just get right up on them, right?
Sure.
So now blind folks are appealing to automakers to try to get them to make hybrid vehicles louder so that they can hear them because they can't see them.
I did hear about that.
F you. F you try to make my car loud because you can't see. Hey, we all got problems, all right?
Wow.
Who's with me?
This is the sensitive side of Bean.
No one is with you.
No, I might actually agree with Bean for once.
Well, of course, psychomite.
How are they going to make cars louder for like a one percentile segment of society?
Yeah, I don't know, but...
Shouldn't those people have dogs?
They should have something.
I mean, they shouldn't be stepping into the street, period, without something helping
them.
Well,
it's bad enough that every crosswalk in this country now has meep, 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 when the lights change, isn't it?
No, that's a good thing, Bean.
That's annoying, too.
No,
Stop that. Stop with that. Let the blind people guess.
And you don't National let the Federation. Beeps on the elevators either that let you know
Hell
what
no.
you're on, right?
Mr. Too much noise right here.
Too much noise in this world. The National Federation of the Blind is asking regulators to establish a minimum amount of loudness in the state of Maryland's emissions standards so that blind pedestrians will know that Priuses are coming and get out of the way.
I will say when I heard the report that it occurred to me that when I walk my dogs in my neighborhood, there are a lot of places with no sidewalks. You have to be in the street.
Right.
That I really do rely on sound
a lot,
you know. While I'm out in the street walking the dogs to look around
move
and make
to
sure that it's okay.
State then. That's as far as I'm concerned. Move you to the same place.
Okay, Bean. I'll move.
All right.
Okay.
Poor guy's.
Anyway.
Poor guy's blind. He's got way bigger problems than Bean, but Bean doesn't want a quiet car.
No. I'm just saying, I don't want a noisy car. I'm just saying, stop it, Blindy. That's what I'm saying. That's the message from today's show is stop it, Blindy.
You have other cars, right?
He has other issues as well as other cars. Yes.
And they,
I have
they
a Mini
make
Cooper,
a
but
bit
it's,
of noise.
I have a Mini Cooper, but it's so much harder to run over a blind guy in a Mini Cooper.
Because he hears you coming.
Yeah.
What
fun
so
is that?
Just taking the sport out of it for you.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
I saw on Weeds that those cars are good for drive-bys because they can't hear you coming.
Because you sneak right up on them.
Sneak right up.
See, there's another advantage to keeping the car quiet. But you guys agree with Mike that it's kind of crazy to intentionally make noise pollution just because of the tiny fraction of people that are blind, right? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
I do, actually. I mean, really, why is a blind person crossing the street?
To get to the other side, Lisa.
Right, but I mean, if there's not a light.
I thought that was a joke.
I don't know. Maybe blind people are out walking their dogs. I don't know.
Well, yeah, aren't they seeing eye dogs?
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't think it's too much to ask to try and accommodate somebody who is blind, as long as it doesn't go too far.
How about people in cars be careful not to hit people? How about that? How about that, Bean?
Well, then you're taking the sport out of it for them again. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, I feel better having gotten that off my chest.
I'm glad. That is.
There is an awful lot of noise pollution. Sometimes when I go out to walk the dogs for a nice, quiet walk, it seems like every single person has somebody out there with a leaf blower, and then planes go overhead, and then there's an accident, and helicopters fly over to check that out. It's insanely loud. I go home for quiet.
I think a lot of people who live in cities don't know what quiet sounds like anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Hang on a second before we move on. Kelly in Burbank, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, you know what? I just... I wanted to make sure I'm hearing this correctly because my roommate is he's listening to your show through his headset. We both listen to K-Rock.
Right.
But I don't have the radio on right now. Anyway, we're both blind. And he said that apparently you guys think it's no big deal if hybrid cars don't make sounds. I mean, that is a huge big deal to those of us who actually, you know, travel independently and cross streets, and especially if we're working with a guide dog.
Okay, Kelly, Kelly, okay. Kelly, first of all, blind people can't listen to the radio. Everybody knows that. Okay, first of all. And second of all, yeah, that's exactly the story we were talking about, is that Toyota is being petitioned by the National Federation of the Blind to make their cars louder for blind people.
Well, they should.
No.
Hey, Kelly, yes, they should. I'm really glad you called, because explain to me, if you have a dog, aren't they looking?
Well, wait a minute. Okay, I have had a guide dog. I just retired my last dog. She had some illness. She was stressed out with work. But anyway, yeah, they're looking.
You worked her too hard.
Isn't work getting you around?
They're looking, but it's your responsibility as a blind person traveling to know when to cross the street. Dogs can't see colors. You listen to the traffic sounds in front of you, and when you hear the traffic going in front of you, across you, you don't cross. You wait for the traffic that's going beside you parallel.
Oh, I see.
Okay? If some hybrid car decides it's going to make a right turn in front of you, but you can't hear it because it's quiet, and you cross the street because you just got the surge and then that car thought it was going to cut in front of you, guess what happens? You're toast.
Yeah,
I don't have, I understand the environment's wonderful, but hey, so am I.
Stupid Al Gore.
Well, listen, Kelly, I'm glad you called, but just stay home. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Just stay home.
Oh my God.
All right?
Wait a minute, Kelly,
it's Bean. You know that, right?
K-Rock.
Yes, Kelly.
My friend and I absolutely adore K-Rock, and now
it's
you just told us to stay home.
It's Asperger guy.
It's guy who can't be nice guy up
right.
there. It's not worth arguing with.
I tell you what, Kelly.
What he means is he understands that your life can be much more difficult than most people's lives, and best of luck.
I'm not taking the pity angle. I do not, I've been blind all my life. I love being blind. I'm proud of my blind people. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with asking for cars to have some noise so that we can actually cross the street.
Now, I'll tell you what, hang on for one second. We're going to send you a t-shirt that we're going to tell you has Kevin Amin and K-Rock on it, okay?
We know you have a lot of questions about your life, about your career, about your love, so that's why we bring in the experts.
Mission Impossible 3 is coming out in about a month. That means Tom Cruise is on the road promoting the movie, doing more interviews where he continues to be crazy.
Yes.
And one of them right here on this show. Let's say good morning to Mr. Cruise. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, Tom, we're fine. We got a couple things we wanted to ask you about. Before we get to the baby, though, what about this news story in Parade magazine where you talked about recently, for the first time, that you were beaten and bullied as a child by your dad?
Yes. I am outraged.
That you said that?
That you read Parade. That magazine blows.
Well, you did the interview, though, and you talked about how what a rough childhood you had until your mom gathered up you and the other kids, and you guys moved away when you were 12, I guess.
Yes. He was a coward of a man. He was a bully.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he would suck you in and make you feel comfortable, and then bam! Give you a Scientology pamphlet. I mean, bam, he'd hit you.
Hit you, right.
Hit you,
same thing. So when something like that happens to you, I mean, is this something that runs through your mind now as you're about to be a father again?
Well, this is my first time being a biological father.
Right.
And so I think it'll be different this time.
Has that been proven, by the way?
As far as you know.
Okay. Now, you were in Germany, and you were plugging the film on a TV show there.
Germans!
Yeah. And you were talking about your priorities, and you were telling them that you have your priorities right.
Absolutely.
And then you said, quote, first the baby,
right,
then the film,
yes,
then in the summer we want to get married.
Right.
So it's number one, the baby, number two, Mission Impossible 3, and then number three, Katie Holmes.
Kevin.
Go ahead, Tom.
I would hold the baby in if I could. I would try to do movie, baby, wedding.
I see.
But they say you can't put a cork in it.
Right. Yeah. That is true. You have not had any experience
with
that.
I went to Home Depot. I bought some spackle.
Right.
I thought I'd just seal it up
right.
until I was ready. But apparently when the kid has to come out, it has to come out.
I also said you're in Germany and you have a plane waiting just in case you get the call. But isn't Germany, like, I don't know, 15 hours away or something?
Yes. And with any luck, I'll be there after the baby's been cleaned and wrapped in a blanket.
Yeah.
Because that's just disgusting. It's bad enough where it comes out of. But from everything I've heard, they just look like drowned rats.
Oh,
yeah. It's bad enough you had to go to the icky place once. You certainly don't want to have to go back there again to get the baby, right?
No, and I don't want to see some creature coming out of there. It's just it's so much easier when you come down in a spaceship and the Satans are tied to the volcano, and then you're free of your Dayton things.
Right, that is easier. That's how it works. Huh?
That's now, Tom, let me ask you this question, because from time to time we invite the listeners to call in and talk to you, the great actor Tom Cruise. Would you be willing to, since you've been doing the research, would you be willing to talk to some of the listeners today about raising kids? Maybe they have some... Yes. Yes. Yes, Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
I've done the research.
Yes.
I know about fatherhood.
Okay. I know you do.
Did you know some people are using fatherhood as a street drug?
That's not true, Tom.
No, I don't know how that's even possible.
I don't even know how you do that. You have to chop the father up and snort him. Do not tell your wife to hold the baby.
Do not say that.
No, that doesn't work.
Okay.
Because they can't. Because women are weak.
They're weak?
Women? Yes. No, I said, Katie, hold the baby until after the movie comes out. She goes, no, I can't.
Well,
weak.
Well, Tom, I don't think that's something...
I hate women. Women suck.
Tom, I don't think that's something a woman has any control over.
Men are strong. Men are handsome.
Okay.
Feel like you're stuck in the gridlock of life's highway? Well, you don't have to be anymore. Spend a few moments with Tom Cruise, and the next thing you know, you'll be cruising through life.
Hey, cruising through life. I just got that.
Right, Tom. How much time are you able to spend with your kids with Nicole Kidman? You had a couple of adopted kids there that have got to be 10, 11 years old. Do you see them ever?
I see one and two all the time.
That's
one and two.
What you call them?
What are their names, Tom?
I don't know.
What?
They're that whore's children. I don't know.
Oh, Tom.
Spanky and Leroy.
All right, maybe it is. All right, let's go to the phones here. Cruising through life. We're going to begin with, where do you want to go first?
Let's go with Serge and Downey. Good morning, Serge.
Good morning. How's it going, fellas?
Very good, thanks. Say hi to Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Serge. That's hard to say.
What's your question for Tom Cruise today, Serge?
Okay, why is it okay for Hispanics to spank their kids and not white folks?
Because Hispanics have it coming.
Oh, Tom.
Hey, right. I got a nice advice for you, Tom. Okay, why can you put the puppet in the bucket and not put the dog in the pail?
Right. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely.
Did he say puppet?
Yes, he did.
I think he did. All right, let's go to Kaylee. Kaylee is in Laverne, Tom. I don't know if this is something you've done the research on or not, but it's a very commonly asked question by new parents. Kaylee, hi, you're on with Tom Cruise.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Kaylee, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
Now, I see here that you're 7 months pregnant.
Yes.
Okay, so what's your question for Tom?
Okay, when I was a baby, I always had a problem with gagging at my own poop.
Uh-huh.
So how do you change a baby's diaper without gagging at their poop?
It's very simple. First of all, Kaylee, are you 12?
You do sound a little young, Kaylee.
No.
You should wait till you get out of grade school before you have a baby.
She's already pregnant, though, Tom, so how should she do the baby changing thing?
All right, there's a trick to this. Mm-hmm. You lay the baby down on the changing table.
Right.
You get out a clean diaper.
Mm-hmm.
I use the cloth because we're very ecologically sound in our house.
Okay.
Then you call your Mexican maid in.
Right.
You hand her the diaper. And you say, Lupita, get to it.
What if Kaylee doesn't have that option?
Oh, she's screwed.
She's screwed. Okay.
All right.
Don't touch me. I will have a maid. I promise.
There you go. Thank you, Kaylee.
Fantastic.
MI3.
I'm sorry?
What? MI3.
Oh, MI3.
Okay. Oh, Mission Impossible 3. Yeah, let's go to Sean in Huntington Beach. This is a great question, Tom, that you apparently didn't have any trouble with. Maybe you can impart some advice to Sean. Hi, go ahead. You're on with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, my wife and I have been married about a year now, and we're ready to have our first kid, and I wonder if you had any tips on us getting her pregnant.
You got married before you got your wife pregnant? That's crazy. Yes, here's how you get your wife pregnant.
All right.
You lay her down on the changing table. You get yourself a clean diaper.
Right.
And then you call in Manuel, the gardener.
Oh. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Curtis. We're doing Cruising Through Life. Those of you that are just listening, Curtis in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to ask Tom what you do with a colicky baby and whether he recommends demand feeding or scheduled feeding.
Curtis. First of all, a colicky baby. What the hell does that mean?
Baby that won't sleep through the night.
Baby doesn't want to sleep.
I've done the research, haven't you?
Yes. First of all, you get a lot of vitamins, and you put the baby on a strict exercise program. I like to tie a baby to a treadmill and turn it up high.
Tom,
more aerobic, not anaerobic.
That's a terrible idea.
No, you tie the baby to the treadmill, you turn it up high, and watch it just crawl its ass off. And then when it's exhausted, then you put a bunch of vitamin pills in its mouth and lay it down on its back.
That sounds like good advice, Tom.
I guarantee you that baby will be out.
Thank you for the call, Curtis. Tom, I wanted to ask, I know you love the vitamins, but how do you handle, with the Scientologists, they're kind of hinky about medicine, how do you handle things like inoculations and things like that for babies? There's a lot of people who believe that, you know, kids get over-inoculated, get too many shots. What's your policy on that?
They do. If you have enough vitamins, enough exercise, you will never get any kind of sickness ever.
Is that right? No flu, no cold, nothing?
No flu, no cold, no flu.
Right?
No cold.
No cold, right?
Nothing.
Right.
You will be healthy, and it's largely in your mind.
I see. Okay. Dave in La Crescenta, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Hi, Dave.
Say hi to Tom.
Hey, Tom. Dave. Tom, now you were wondering about ways to keep the baby in. I got a question in regards to that. Right.
Yes.
Now, my wife is being told that she's probably going to need a cerclage. I want to ask you about the benefits of the cerclage and what week they should put a cerclage in.
The cerclage is my favorite designer. They make a great handbag, and Katie loves her cerclage. She carries it everywhere she goes. But I don't know what that has to do with babies.
but we appreciate the call, Dave. Let's do one more. Tom Cruise is on the line. We'll go to Tom in Burbank. Now, this is a delicate question, Tom, but you seem to have all the answers. You've done the research.
I have done the research.
Yes.
And you should too. You should stop being so glib, Bean.
Well, I'm not trying to be glib at all. I'm trying to just introduce you to the caller. Say hello to Tom.
So glib.
Tom, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Tom.
What's your question, Tom? What's your question, Tom?
I have been doing the research for 9 years, Tom. I need to know how to ring Mama's doorbell.
I'm sorry?
I need to ring Mama's doorbell. I want her to give it up the back end.
Oh, you're trying to break the exit-only rule is your question for Tom. How do you do
that?
That's
the question.
I see.
Okay. I figured he might know.
Don't do that unless you want chocolate babies.
What?
That's where chocolate babies come from.
What are you talking about?
Black babies come out the butt. White babies come out the vagina.
No. I don't think you understand how it works at all.
Don't be so glib. Do the research.
You need to do a little more research.
No, it's milk, lemonade, round the corner fudge is made.